a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Shining Care reminds you, September is Healthy Aging Month, an annual health observance designed to focus national attention on the positive aspects of growing older. It provides inspiration and practical ideas for adults ages 45 plus to improve their physical, mental, social, and financial well-being. With the pandemic, we've extended Healthy Aging Month to include October with amazing events you won't want to miss. Get going on positive measures that can impact the areas of physical, social, financial, and mental wellness. Join us for free information, prizes, and fun during October, including the drive-through event October 22nd from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Cornerstone Community Bank on Hartnell. Swing by and get your free goodie bag full of useful info, resources, and gifts. The Shining Care Age Well Healthy Aging drive-through event in collaboration with Cornerstone Community Bank, Wind River Resort and Casino, PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, and HICAP. Join in the fun and get informed for physical and mental wellness. Make plans to get your free goodie bag on Thursday, October 22nd, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Cornerstone Community Bank.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Fall is the best time to plant. Cooler evenings and warmer soil makes a super combination for growing. What a great time it is to plant. Gold Leaf Nursery's fall sale is on now. Take 30, 40, and 50% off ground covers, shrubs, and trees. The fall sale is going on now at Gold Leaf Nursery. You don't want to miss the savings. Gold Leaf Nursery, open Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't miss the fall sale going on now at Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs.
Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service dish network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
President Trump would like to retain a lot of the economic base that made the economy so strong leading up to the COVID depression. Remember, before the COVID depression, the economy was going great guns. I mean, we had the lowest unemployment rate in half a century. Wages were rising extraordinarily high. They were rising mostly at the bottom end of the spectrum. The median income in the United States had risen dramatically under President Trump under the first 3 years of his administration. So the underlying fundamentals remain good. And this should be the argument, right? The argument going into the election should be the underlying fundamentals of the economy under Trump would be much, much, much stronger than the underlying fundamentals of an economy under Joe Biden, who would seek to put restraints on the economy in the name of various other priorities, ranging from a Green New Deal to big labor's priorities to the attempt to create income equality, which, of course, is an idiotic goal. Income equality should not be the goal. Prosperity should be the goal. Anybody who focuses on income equality as opposed to prosperity for everybody is missing the boat. You can have income equality in absolute poverty, and you can have income inequality in absolute wealth. Right? There's a lot of income inequality between me and Bill Gates. Thank God I do really well. The income inequality means nothing. What matters is the absolute level of income and what kind of life people are able to lead. Prosperity is the important measure, not income inequality. Okay, but here's the thing. Joe Biden would like to actually harm the economy. His actual policy goals are likely to harm the economy. Apparently, he's flirting with Elizabeth Warren. Politico, citing three Democratic officials who have spoken with Warren's inner circle, reports that the Massachusetts senator and third place Democratic presidential candidate has her eyes set on the role of Treasury Secretary and plans to advocate for herself starting next week should Democrats take control of the White House. She wants it, to the officials told the news agency of Warren's ambitions. As Politico notes, the Treasury Secretary in the next president's administration will be tasked with steering the U.S. economy out of deep recession, even as the country struggles with the coronavirus pandemic. This means, presumably, that Elizabeth Warren will be negotiating budgets. It means that Elizabeth Warren will be trying to cram down particular programs on business via the Fed. Her plan, her economic plan, was likely to really, really have a dire impact on the economy. I mean, she was calling for a full-on wealth tax. Right? She wanted wide-scale wealth confiscation for people with a net worth greater than $50 million. And as I pointed out at the time, measuring people by their net worth is not actually a measure of their wealth. A net worth is what your stock is worth. Let's say you own a private company. Let's say that your private company is worth $200 million, okay, which means, let's say, it's a 5x EBITDA calculation. That means that the company actually has $40 million in business every year, but your expenses are $38 million or $39 million, right? So you do $40 million in gross every year. 5x EBITDA means that you end up at a $200 million valuation. Let's say that you own 50% of that company. Well, you are worth, quote unquote, $100 million. The problem is you can't actually liquidate your asset in the company for $100 million. You're not actually worth that. So if you're talking about a 2% tax on $100 million, a 2% wealth tax on $100 million, then what you would actually be talking about is a $2 million tax every single year for a company that may not actually be earning $2 million in profit. Okay, so none of this makes any sense. But Elizabeth Warren's plans didn't have to make sense. They were just confiscatory. That was all it was about. The goal, of course, would be to quash people who are the actual investors in the economy. I know that we love to believe that what actually drives the economy is low-level spending. That is not what drives the economy. What drives the economy is people creating new, excellent products and services with heavy levels of investment that actually change your life. More on that in a moment. But first, investors, how about a 10% steady real estate backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset, real estate? Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider it. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. So the final pitch for Trump should, in fact, be the economy. That should be the final pitch. If you elect Democrats, the economy will tank. And he's made that case, and he has said that. The problem is it's been overshadowed by him making the case on a variety of other topics. It should have been a singular message. The economy was great until COVID. The economy will only be great again after COVID if you allow business to do what business does. And you cannot do that if you're talking about endless lockdowns. You cannot do that if you're talking about outsourcing America's policy to people who do not do multivariate analysis of all of the COVID-based issues. Right? If you're just outsourcing everything to Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Fauci's sole goal in life is not to balance the economic needs of the American people with the need to protect elderly from COVID, right? His sole goal. I mean, he's the head of the NIAID, right? I mean, he's the head of the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. He's not the head of the Fed. That means he does a single variable analysis. What activity is most likely to preserve the lives of people who are above the age of 70? But you do have to balance all of these things when you make public policy, right? How do you balance the risk to people above the age of 70 with the risk to an economy that supports 330 million people? How do you balance the risk of additional life lost at age 85 with the risk of not allowing children to go to school? Right? Single variable analysis is not sufficient in politics. This is why it was really funny. Jared Kushner was getting batted around yesterday by the media because he says that Trump took back COVID-making policy from the doctors. And people are like, oh, he shouldn't take back that policy. Well, I didn't elect Fauci. I mean, I'm more than willing to hear Fauci's perspective. He knows more about allergies and infectious diseases than I do. I'm also willing to hear the perspective of Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford University because he's an actual epidemiologist, right? I'm willing to listen to that as well. But we elect policymakers. We don't elect doctors. If you want to elect a doctor, you are free to go to a doctor anytime you choose. That should be Trump's closing pitch. It is a little bit. It's probably not enough right now. Okay, in just a second, we will get to the actual pitch the Democrats are making. Okay, so the pitch Republicans should be making is look at this economic recovery. If you'd like to see it continue, you need to elect Republicans. Democrats are making a counter pitch, and that is that Republicans are deeply immoral and you should never be friends with them. That really is their final pitch. And that's why that pitch beyond the election is going to have dire ramifications. For all the talk from Joe Biden about no red state America, no blue state America, I'm going to be president for all Americans. All Americans, come on, man. Well, let's be real about this. He is not. He's not, and he has no intention of being. Joe Biden is a corrupt old Democratic politician. He will move whichever way the wind blows. The winds in his party are moving very strongly in favor of the sort of don't ever talk with the Republican again mentality that you see in today's cancel culture. That cancel culture means an awful lot. Because when you talk about politics affecting your everyday life, there are two ways politics can affect your everyday life. One is the actual government policy affecting your everyday life. Tax rates go up. Regulations go up. The other way is the way we all know politics affects our everyday life, which is the social ostracization the left has now thrust upon anybody who thinks differently. If you think differently, if you're the Girl Scouts, they will ostracize you, right? If you tweet out a nice thing about Amy Coney Barrett, they will force you to back down. If you are a person working in an office and you suggest that Barack Obama was a bad president, you will be labeled a racist. If you say that you support Trump, you will obviously be labeled a racist. That is how politics affects your everyday life, and Democrats have invested heavily in that message because it is a social intimidation campaign to get you to cave and vote Democrat. That is what is happening on the left side of the aisle. It is an overt and covert campaign. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the simple fact that there are a lot of people who are after your data simply because you are conservative. I mean, if you've been watching big tech the last few weeks, they've been cracking down on anybody who says bad things about Joe Biden. It's really pretty astonishing. Big tech companies can use your IP address to match your internet activity to your identity or location. Why would you trust them with your data? When I use ExpressVPN, search engines and media sites, they can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized. ExpressVPN has the added benefit of encrypting 100% of your data to keep you safe from people who you don't want having that data. ExpressVPN software, it just takes a minute to set up on your computer or phone. You tap one button, now you're protected. So, if you're like me, and you believe your internet data belongs to you and not to giant tech companies who are not friendly to conservatives, ExpressVPN is the answer. It protects you from hackers and protects you from big tech. Protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to claim an exclusive offer for my fans. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben to get started. Coming up, the Democrats' final closing pitch, you're a bad person if you vote Trump. That's coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have a closing pitch. Not just that Trump is a bad orange, very bad orange, bad, terrible, bad man, but also that you are a very bad orange, very bad, terrible, very bad orange person if you vote for Trump. It has nothing to do with Republican policies. It has nothing to do with why Joe Biden will be better for the country. It has to do with you. You on a personal level. You. Yeah, you, Bob. You're a bad person if you vote for Donald Trump. And Don Lemon is making this case overtly in the media. You must be delusional to vote for Donald Trump, says Don Lemon over at CNN. In fact, he says, I'm getting rid of Trump voters in my life. There are people who I like who are Trump voters. I can't have them in my life because they're so delusional. Here is Don Lemon on CNN saying the quiet part out loud about what the Democratic agenda really is, which is to close the Overton window to the point where you no longer are allowed in polite society if you have conversations that differ from the mainstream.
I have many people who I love in my life. And yeah, I come from a red state. I've lived in several red states. There are a lot of friends who I had to really get rid of because they are so nonsensical when it comes to this issue. They have the whole, every single talking point that they hear on state TV and that they hear from this president, they repeat it and they are blinded by it. I had to get rid of a lot of people in my life because sometimes you just have to let them go. I think that they have to hit rock bottom like an addict, right? And they have to want to get help. They have to want to know the truth. They have to want to live in reality. They have to want to be responsible.
So a long time ago, Alexis de Tocqueville, who is still the greatest observer of America and American life, he wrote back in the 1840s, and he was writing about touring the United States of America. And Alexis de Tocqueville talked about the big problem in American life. He said one of the big problems is that social sanctions, when used, can be extraordinarily powerful. He says that the mob could allow freedom of thought technically, but only to an extent. Right? Here's de Tocqueville, again, writing nearly two centuries ago. The person who says they are for freedom of thought, but in favor of social stricture of mainstream opinion, he says, quote, you are free to think differently from me and to retain your life, your property, and all that you possess. But if such be your determination, you are henceforth an alien among your people. You may retain your civil rights, but they will be useless to you, for you will be never chosen by your fellow citizens if you solicit their suffrages, and they will affect to scorn you if you solicit their esteem. You will remain among men, but you will be deprived of the rights of mankind. Your fellow creatures will shun you like an impure being, and those who are most persuaded of your innocence will abandon you too, lest they should be shunned in their turn. Go in peace. I have given you your life, but it is an existence incomparably worse than death. The majority lives in the perpetual practice of self-applause, and there are certain truths which the Americans can only learn from strangers or from experience. Right? So the idea here is, again, that social stricture is one way that politics is done. The left knows this. The left knows this, and so they've decided that they are going to excoriate anybody who votes differently than they do. And you see this in nearly every arena of American life. It's why it feels like the country is falling apart. It used to be that you would get together with somebody and you'd go to a baseball game. And at the baseball game, you'd put your politics aside because there was a baseline recognition that you were both Americans and that while you may have different political priorities in terms of how you vote, you still want what's best for America. You still believe in traditional American values. That has gone by the wayside. People on the left refuse to acknowledge this to people on the right. They literally refuse to acknowledge it. If you vote for Donald Trump, it is because you are a racist. It is not in spite of you're not voting Trump to stop the predations of the left. You are voting Trump because you buy into the worst excesses of Donald Trump. The reason it's because you love it. You love it. You're a bad person if you vote a particular way, right? This is why Jonathan Chait, supposedly open-minded liberal, calls Charlie Cook, editor-in-chief of National Review, and me. He says, we are racist because Charlie is considering voting for Trump and because I've said I will vote for Trump. And this is how they feel about you, right? This is why Mazie Hirono yesterday suggested that 40% of Americans are awful people. Right? Mazie Hirono, again, she's the dumbest member of the Democratic Party, but in her stupidity, she speaks truth. Yesterday, here is what she had to say about 40% of the American people. This is the final Democratic pitch, because the idea is, do you want to be part of that 40% of people? No, didn't think so. Didn't think so. Right? Here's Mazie Hirono yesterday saying 40% of the country, 40%, 4 in 10 Americans, are angry, resentful, and fearful. This is the actual closing pitch. Put aside all the policy stuff. Put aside the Donald Trump is bad stuff. The reason they hate Trump is not because they hate Trump so much. It's because they hate everybody who would possibly vote for Trump or think of voting for Trump. And Trump is just the brutal and vulgar version of those people.
You can't have 40% or so of the country being so angry that they would continue to vote for somebody like Trump who will do absolutely nothing to improve their lives. But he speaks to their anger, resentments, and fear of people like you and me.
Alrighty, so leading up to the election, then, Democrats are pretty confident that they are going to be able to ram through their agenda. They're pretty sure that Joe Biden is going to be elected. Now, according to the polling, they're probably right. Now, there is a plausible read of the polling, where the polls don't actually have to be wrong and Trump wins. Okay, in order for that to happen, Trump simply has to close the gap in a couple of states. Right, he has to close the gap in Pennsylvania, most importantly. But he needs to win Georgia, win North Carolina, win Arizona, and win Florida. There's not really a way that it's a blowout for Trump. Right? There's just not. I mean, he's down 7 points in the national polling. There is literally no way he's going to win the popular vote. Okay, that is the one safe prediction I can make. Donald Trump's not going to win the popular vote. People in California are standing in line to vote against Trump, even though it makes absolutely no difference to the presidential outcome because California will remain blue. Okay, but there is a world where Trump wins a fairly broad electoral college victory, where he wins Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, let's say Minnesota and Pennsylvania, right? That means that he wins as broad an electoral victory as he did last time. There's a plausible road where Joe Biden wins going away, where Biden swings all those states, where Biden wins Florida, he wins Georgia, he wins North Carolina, he wins Iowa, he wins Wisconsin, he wins Ohio, because Ohio is tied. The polls would not have to be wrong for any of this to happen, by the way, right? Right now, Texas is within margin of error. So Biden could theoretically win Texas and the polls couldn't be wrong. So recognize that there is a lot of flexibility in those polling numbers. When people say the polls were wrong, now there's a range in which polls are still considered accurate. If you're within like 2 or 3 points of the final outcome, those polls are still basically considered accurate. This is why you have margin of error measurements on polls. So nobody should be too sanguine about where we are in this election, nor should people on the right think that if Donald Trump loses, that is solely because of voter fraud. I have Trump voters who come up to me sometimes and they say this sort of stuff, right? I voted for Trump already, by the way. Okay, we're going to have more votes in this election than any election in history, bar none. We've had 70 million early votes at this point. 70 million. There were only about 135 million votes in the last election. Okay, so we have already surpassed half of the vote total and we haven't had election day yet. Coming up, Nancy Pelosi says that Donald Trump should accept the election results like a man. Well, there's only one problem. What if Trump wins? You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
WCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind,
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the craze you'll crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopped pecans. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Very, very long time. Nonetheless, there was a major push by Democrats for mail-in voting because their suggestion was, and they thought that they were going to be able to consolidate that mail-in vote very early. Trump was campaigning against the mail-in vote. Then Trump realized he was telling his own people not to vote in, not to mail in their votes. So he switched. Then the Democrats were like, oh, wait, we told all our people not to go out on election day. That's bad. So now they need to go out on election day. Here's the bottom line. We have procedures in this country for when election day is. We have procedures that are followed and that are put in place by the legislature for when you are allowed to count ballots. Usually the way this works under a Republican system of government is that the legislature makes a law, and that law is the governing law. And judges don't get to willy-nilly rewrite the law. And if they do, that can be appealed to the federal level because that is violation of the Republican form of government. It is a violation of the federal laws governing voting, which are supposed to really delegate not to state courts, but to state legislatures. And so this has been the consistent, bizarre messaging surrounding voter suppression across the country. The question is not what the standard is. There's always a standard, right? We could stop counting the votes the day after the election. We could stop counting the votes 10 days after the election. We could stop counting the votes at midnight on election night, right? We could do any of those things as long as the rules are set by the proper body. The question is not what the rule is. The question is who sets the rule. So I saw Chris Hayes yesterday and he was like, imagine if people just said that we were going to stop looking at your tax returns on April 15th. Imagine if we just shifted it and we said that if any income tax return that was sent in after April 15th, we won't look at. Okay, I can imagine that. And you know what happened? Everybody would just mail it in 2 days earlier. Because it turns out that whatever the deadline is what the deadline is. Institutionally and legally speaking, the question is who gets to make the rules. So the left has been going nuts over this because their suggestion is no matter who makes the rule, right, it's the content of the rule that matters, not the process by which the rule is made. So if a legislature correctly and legally makes a decision to cut off the counting of the vote at midnight on election night, and then a judge stands in without any legal precedent and simply extends that for 7 days, the left is like, excellent, excellent. And it makes no difference to them who actually creates the rule, right? And then if you step in, you say, hold on, the legislature, that's the legislature's job. You can't have members of the executive agencies rewriting the law, or you can't have members of the judiciary rewriting the law. Then they call it voter suppression. That's not voter suppression, guys. So I'll take a perfect example. The left yesterday was fighting mad, freaking out over what's going on in Minnesota. Because on Thursday, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals gave the GOP a victory in Minnesota. That's only a victory for the GOP because the GOP had appealed the legal process. This is Hank Barry in a Daily Wire writing, ruling that Minnesota absentee ballots must be physically received by 8 p.m. on election day in order to be counted. CBS Minnesota reported previously a ballot that was postmarked November 3rd would still be counted so long as it arrived within a week. The Minnesota Republican Party said, "We applaud the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals for upholding the integrity of the election and affirming Election Day as November 3rd." So what was the court's actual finding? Were they trying to suppress the vote? No. Minnesota law dictates that election officials only count ballots received by Election Day. That is what it says in Minnesota law. The Minnesota Alliance for Retired Americans Education Fund and some of its members sued Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon in Minnesota State Court, alleging the statutory deadline was unconstitutional. The secretary and the alliance then entered into a consent decree purporting to change the rules by essentially making the statutorily mandated absentee ballot receipt deadline inoperative. So in other words, a bunch of liberals went to another liberal, the secretary of state of Minnesota, and said, okay, let's sign into consent decree to just rewrite the law. That's illegal. You can't do that. You can't just have an outside group go to the secretary of state and say, you know what? Here's the legislature's law already signed into law by the governor. We're going to rewrite this on the side, you and me. You can't do this. This is what the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled. They said that the extension of the deadline likely violates Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution because the secretary extended the deadline for receipt of the ballots without legislative authorization. We therefore reverse the district court's denial of a preliminary injunction and remand to the district court to enter an injunction requiring the secretary and those under his direction to identify, segregate, and otherwise maintain and preserve all absentee ballots received after the deadlines set forth in Minneapolis state code. So they say that this is really screwed up the process. They say voter confusion was inevitable once the secretary issued guidance to voters that was directly in contradiction to Minnesota election law. An orderly process was hopelessly compromised when he usurped the authority of the legislature under the Electors Clause of the Constitution. During the entire pendency of this litigation, Minnesota voters have been left with two sets of contradicting instructions, one from the secretary, another that has long been and remains codified in the election laws of Minnesota. In the end, it is always in the public interest to protect constitutional rights. In other words, the legislature gets to make the decision. Naturally, this has been characterized by Democrats as voter suppression. It is not voter suppression. Okay, just because I've seen Democrats claiming there's a long line at a polling station as voter suppression. Nope, voter suppression is when Bull Connor drives up with a hose and starts hosing off all the black people to prevent them from voting. That's voter suppression. Standing in line is called being at a grocery store, at Disneyland, or voting. Okay, being in line is not voter suppression. Voter suppression is when you literally don't get to vote. It is also not voter suppression when the legislature passes a law saying you have to vote and it has to be counted by the state, and then somebody tries to unilaterally rewrite the law, and then a court steps in and says you can't unilaterally rewrite the law. That is also not voter suppression. Nonetheless, you see Democrats claiming falsely that voter suppression is going to be the result of all of this. So now Nancy Pelosi has shifted her stance. Before it was everybody should mail in vote. Now Democrats are deeply afraid that Trump is going to outweigh them on Election Day, right? That's why she keeps saying Trump may win on Election Day, but keep counting the votes long enough, Biden will win. Here's Pelosi saying, I hope people won't depend on their mail-in vote.
This weekend shall be very interesting to see how many more people will vote in advance. I hope that people will not depend on the mail because they have done all they can to dismantle the postal system. But I salute our postal workers, our letter carriers, and those who are making the best of the situation. But even the Postal Service is saying it's too late now to mail.
Okay, so let me just point out again, this is another Democratic myth. The mail has not been undermined. It is fully funded through next year. The post office delivers something like 300 million pieces of mail a day. Okay, they can obviously handle the voting. They have been handling the voting. All they requested way back early this year is that you not make the voting deadline so late and close to the election that it gives them no ability to actually deliver the mail properly. So when people talk about ramp up to violence in the election, when people talk about the possibility of people not accepting the results of the election, recognize the left is doing this mainstream and the entire social media infrastructure is echoing this. Voter suppression is happening. You're not going to get your vote counted. How do you think things are going to go if Trump wins? I mean, seriously, because Trump could still win without bucking the polls. Trump could win. We'll get to that in just one second. First, I've been spending an awful lot of time listening to podcasts and catching up on Netflix shows. I mean, you're stuck at home half the time. You know the best way to listen? Using a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. The reason I love my Raycons, they fit my ear perfectly. So the other AirPods that you're using, those ones, they kind of fall out of your ear, don't they? They don't fit your ear perfectly because they're not customized directly to your ear. With Raycons, you can customize the fit directly to your ear. Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25s, those are the best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design, a noise-isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet, no dangling wires or stems. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they are the pair of wireless earbuds for you. Now, for a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Ben. That's buyraycon.com/Ben for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. BuyRayCon.com/Ben. BuyRayCon.com/Ben for 15% off. Okay, so it is possible that Trump wins. Right? I know Democrats don't want to accept this. It is possible that Trump wins. And it's possible that he wins without there being voter suppression or voter fraud, obviously. But Democrats don't want to accept any of this. Okay, Michael Moore, who predicted that Trump was going to win last time, he says he thinks Trump is going to win this time. Now, listen, you got to always take this with a grain of salt. I don't do election predictions anymore. One of the reasons is because all of the incentive structures are skewed for election predictions. If you're the one person who bucks the data and says Trump is going to win, and then Trump wins, then everybody declares that you are a prophet. If you are the person who follows the data and says that Trump is going to lose, you don't get any credit, right, because you followed the data. If you are the person who says that Trump is going to win and then he loses, everybody just forgets about it immediately. That's the way this works. But Michael Moore, who did call it last time, he says he thinks that Trump is going to win again.
I wake up every morning with the assumption that Trump believes he's going to win, and that's good enough for me. If he thinks he's going to win, then I think he's going to win. And I'm going to act every minute of today and the rest of the day until I fall asleep after midnight. I am going to be working to make sure he doesn't win, because he thinks he's going to win, and I know he's an evil genius, and he's smarter than all of us.
Okay, Michael Moore, man. Okay, so there is one area where Trump could pull kind of a stunner. What the polls are showing is something that people don't really want to recognize, which is that Trump is drawing an outsized share of both the Hispanic vote and the black vote, particularly among black males. Among black females hate the guy. I mean, just by polling data. But among black males, there's a heavier share of the black male vote going to Trump than any other Republican candidate of my lifetime, which people on the left find absolutely astounding. But I'm not sure why it's astounding, considering that he has pursued criminal justice reform, for example, considering that he has pursued these opportunity zones, considering that he has been featured in rap songs going back to the 90s as sort of the prototypical rich guy. Right. So he's sort of been in some ways heroized by rap for several decades. Lil Weezy came out yesterday. Lil Wayne, Weezy. I have no experience with this, as you know, despite the fact I am myself a platinum award winning rapper. I really have no experience with anything around this. Lil Wayne, who I guess is also known as Weezy, he tweeted out, just had a great meeting with President Trump. Besides what he's done so far with criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. He listened to what we had to say today and assured he will and can get it done. And of course, Lil Wayne then received an extraordinary amount of blowback because you are not allowed to say that Donald Trump is a decent man. You can't say that. Not allowed to say that Donald Trump might not be a racist. Even taking a picture with Donald Trump is underscoring the fact he might not be a racist, and that you are not allowed to say. Okay, so the Democrats have not accepted the possibility that Trump possibly could win. And so we all know that the plausible outcome, right, if Trump wins. If Trump wins, everybody assumes the cities are going to burn, right? This is the corollary to the blackmail, the moral blackmail Democrats have been using here. You're a bad person if you vote for Trump. Therefore, if Trump wins, the bad people won. Therefore, if Trump wins and the bad people won, rebellion is necessary, right? The nature of this country has been shifted dramatically. The fascists have won. It's time to loot and break things. You know who knows that this is the reality, that this is a real possibility? Every business in America. Seriously, all of them. DC luxury shops are already boarding up in anticipation of the election, which just goes to show you, the rioters and looters, you think they're Trump supporters? For all the talk about the fascist brown shirts running around the land creating violence, it seems like a lot of people who are going to vote for Joe Biden, who, if they vote at all, who are going to go break into stores should Donald Trump win. Walmart is now removing guns and ammo from store displays ahead of the election because they are worried about civil unrest. The news was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, which said the retailer was looking to head off any potential theft of firearms if stores are broken into amid any civil unrest caused by the upcoming presidential election on Tuesday. By the way, my theory, there will be civil unrest either way. And if Biden wins, people are going to use it as an opportunity to go ahead and break things and steal things. But if Trump wins, the world will burn. If Trump wins, people will go out in the streets. It will get extremely violent extremely quickly. And we all know this, right? This is not some sort of big secret. Walmart said, we have seen some isolated civil unrest, and as we've done on several occasions over the last few years, we've moved our firearms and ammo off the sales floor as a precaution for the safety of our associates and customers. These items do remain available for purchase by customers. A new USA Today Suffolk University poll found Americans are increasingly worried about what will happen as this year's tumultuous election comes to a conclusion next week, including whether the voting will be peaceful and the outcome broadly accepted. Only one in four say they are very confident the nation will have a peaceful transfer of power if Democratic challenger Joe Biden defeats President Donald Trump. But that, of course, is the wrong question. The real question is, if Trump wins, will anybody on the left accept that? And I think the answer is going to be almost universally no. And of course, they'll be fully justified in not accepting it because Trump is a terrible fascist and it's all voter suppression. It's amazing how the media have focused entirely on Trump's allegations of voter fraud. Prediction right now. If Joe Biden wins the election, no widespread violence from the right. How do I know this? Because regardless of what has happened...
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-754-83. That is 800-754-83 or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. Coming up, Joe Biden is campaigning in Florida, and he reminds us all that it's not going to be great if he becomes president. I know a lot of people don't like Trump, but if you vote against Trump, that guy becomes president. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The need has always been there. The need for food, shelter, compassion. This year, it just happens to be greater. If you need help, please reach out. If you can give help, please reach within. In a year with fewer red kettles, your $25 monthly donation helps rescue Christmas for the most vulnerable. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden is on track to become president, according to the polls. If he does, get ready for some ugliness. So yesterday, Joe Biden was speaking, and he was talking about being a standard bearer for democracy. This just shows you the overt lies that are told by Joe Biden. He said he was campaigning in Florida before he was hit with a rainstorm. He immediately ran away from the rainstorm, which, you know, not a great shock. And William Henry Harrison died 40 days into his term because he stayed out in a rainstorm. Although I will say that the rain in Florida is quite warm. Anyway, here was Joe Biden suggesting that Donald Trump is a terrible standard bearer for democracy. I will explain how idiotic this statement is in just one moment.
President Trump can't advance democracy and human rights for the Cuban people or the Venezuelan people, for that matter, when he has embraced so many autocrats around the world, started with Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Trump is the worst possible standard bearer for democracy in places like Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea.
Okay, I have to just say that last line there is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard Joe Biden say, and that man says stupid things every single day. Every single day. I mean, first of all, he is obviously losing his crispness just in his articulation there. But beyond that, okay, for him to say that Trump is a terrible standard bearer for democracy in Cuba and Venezuela, dude. Let me just, okay, the reason he's mentioning Cuba and Venezuela in Florida is obviously there are tons of Cuban expatriates and their children. There are a lot of new expatriates to Florida who are Venezuelan and who are voting Republican because they don't wish America to look like Nicolas Maduro and Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Just a quick note, Joe Biden's plan, okay, this is coming out today, Joe Biden's plan is to dump over Juan Guaido in Venezuela, who is the head of the assembly, who was supposed to be the sort of interim president once Maduro, who's a dictator, was deposed. He's planning to dump over Guaido, just abandon him completely, and go back to negotiating with Nicolas Maduro, who's a brutal dictator, right, who's been suppressing the people of Venezuela. I mean, Hugo Chavez and Maduro reduced the most oil-rich country in South America into a trash heap. People literally eating dogs to survive. And this has been going on for years on end. Okay, the Obama administration wants to deal with Maduro. They did nothing to stop Maduro. They did nothing to stop Hugo Chavez. I mean, it is fully crazy how accommodating they were to the Venezuelan regime. And speaking of Cuba, I mean, it was Barack Obama who said he wanted to reopen Cuba and then went and hung out with Raul Castro. And there's the famous photo of Raul Castro holding up Barack Obama's arm, and Obama's got the limp wrist and the whole deal. I mean, seriously, that's the actual photo. That's not me making fun of Obama. That's the actual photo. There's a picture of Barack Obama in Cuba standing in front of a giant mural of Che Guevara. Barack Obama was at baseball games with Raul Castro. I said, don't tell me that the great standard bearer for democracy is going to be Joe Biden in Cuba and Venezuela. I mean, it's just like the number of lies that Joe Biden thinks he can tell just because Donald Trump is orange man who's bad in orange is truly crazy. It's truly crazy. And, of course, Joe Biden still doesn't have to answer any questions about his son. So it's not just that Joe Biden, like, listen, there's still lack of substantiation on Joe Biden being directly involved in business with his son or benefiting directly from business with his son. There is no controversy at all that Joe Biden knows full well that his son Hunter was jet-setting all over the globe doing corrupt deals on the basis of his name. He was allowing members of his family to do this for literally decades. For literally decades. Now, there's a report from James Rosen that the Justice Department has confirmed that in 2019, the FBI actually opened up a criminal investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates focused on allegations of money laundering, and that investigation remains open and active today. Rosen is a reporter with the Sinclair Broadcast Group. Of course, this follows hard on Tony Bobulinski, suggesting that he was questioned by six FBI agents. Bobulinski is Hunter Biden's former business partner, with counsel present for 5 hours on October 23rd, listing him as a material witness in an ongoing investigation focused on Hunter Biden and his associates. An FBI spokesman told the Washington Examiner, "We have no comments in keeping with our standard practice of neither confirming nor denying the existence of an investigation." Materials, of course, tied to Hunter Biden come from a laptop that he apparently left with a computer repair store in Delaware and then abandoned, and then it ended up in the hands of Rudy Giuliani and such. Now, Biden's people keep refusing to answer the question. And again, it is perfectly plausible for Joe Biden to say, "I've never made money off of any of this." But he has said Hunter Biden never did anything wrong and that there are no serious accusations Hunter Biden has ever done anything wrong. Well, that's not true. I mean, honestly, that's not true. There have been lots of accusations that Hunter Biden has done wrong stuff. Hunter Biden himself acknowledges that he benefits from daddy's name in order to pick up bags of cash in foreign countries where he has no connections. The question is what Joe Biden knew, when he knew it, and how involved he was. And Tony Bobulinski says that Hunter and Joe were deeply enmeshed and involved. That has yet to be rebutted. Don't worry, though. The media will just cover up for it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump capping another busy day on the campaign trail with a speech in Rochester, Minnesota. Mr. Trump not mincing any words about his anger over state officials capping attendance at 250 people. The president, meanwhile, telling an audience in Michigan that a virus vaccine will soon be available.
Thanks to our historic campaign to slash red tape and mobilize industry, we will deliver a safe vaccine to the American people in just a number of weeks, a couple of weeks.
And he's calling on Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer to loosen virus restrictions.
You know what? You have to do your job. You have to get back. You have to open up your states, right? You have to open up your states. We got to get our governor to open up our state here, don't we? You know?
Also at townhall.com, the virus situation has gotten so bad in one area of Texas, officials have ordered a two-week shutdown.
The county judge in El Paso County ordered a nighttime curfew this week, hoping to reduce a spike in COVID-19 cases, but that hasn't worked. So now Judge Ricardo Samaniego has ordered businesses to close, things like hair and nail salons, gyms, and restaurants. He says hospitals are at capacity, and medical professionals are overwhelmed. But the judge is facing a legal challenge from the state attorney general, who's tweeting Judge Samaniego doesn't have the authority to shut down businesses in the county, and he's violating a government order to keep businesses open. El Paso had more than 1,100 new COVID cases Thursday and two more deaths. I'm Jackie Quinn.
It's a minor setback, a federal judge postponing the president's threatened shutdown of TikTok. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that annual maintenance fees are coming due, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Thankfully, we can help. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others across the country. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Lone Star Transfer has a 99% success rate and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We are a family-owned business and will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's LoneStarTransfer.com.
Walmart reversing itself on guns.
The Bentonville, Arkansas-based retailer announced it is returning ammunition and firearms to their displays in its U.S. stores. On Thursday, the nation's largest retailer said it had removed the displays due to civil unrest in some areas of the country. But on Friday, it said the items had been restored to displays because the unrest had remained isolated. The move comes after several days of violence, widespread vandalism, and an overnight curfew in Philadelphia after police fatally shot a black man with a history of mental health problems. Keith Peters reporting.
Nearly 30,000 recipients of what a judge described as electoral terror robocalls designed to scare people from voting received new court-ordered phone calls. Now, those calls say the earlier call had false information that was intimidating voters. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Wages and benefits for American workers growing at a sluggish pace as employers hold the line on pay gains during the pandemic. Here's correspondent Mike Hempen.
Total compensation for U.S. workers rose 0.5% in the third quarter. The Labor Department says that's the same as the second quarter and down from 0.8% in the first quarter. For the year ending in September, wages and benefits increased 2.4%, the slowest pace in 3 years. The figures suggest that businesses are closely watching labor costs as they recall millions of workers who were laid off in March and April when the coronavirus outbreak forced the closures of thousands of businesses nationwide. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Yet one more casualty of the pandemic. Officials in California say the 2021 Rose Parade has now been canceled. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Thanks to the dedication of the people of Shasta County, we are able to move more quickly through Phase 2 of California's COVID-19 reopening plan. As our friends and neighbors reopen their businesses, remember this carefully thought-out plan is necessary to continue to limit the spread of COVID-19, and following the reopening guidance is critical. We still need to do everything we can to protect our vulnerable neighbors. Those aged 65 and older or with underlying medical conditions should stay home as much as possible. Non-essential travel and mass gatherings are still not allowed at this time, and we all need to continue to practice social distancing, wear masks when out in public, stay home when sick, and practice respiratory hygiene. To see a list of businesses that can reopen with modifications, go to ShastaReady.org and click on Roadmap to Recovery. Our continued dedication to reopening in a safe, controlled manner will help us beat COVID-19 and continue to move forward.
In countries that were locked down, right? Germany was a success story. Now Germany is experiencing thousands and thousands and thousands of cases, right? Germany, as of October 29th, had almost 19,000 cases. 19,000 cases in a day in Germany. Okay, that is a massive number of cases in Germany, which was one of the big success stories. So here's the reality about COVID. You can't stop it. You can only hope to, quote unquote, contain it. Okay, and all you can really do is try to shield the most vulnerable by telling them to stay home. And then if a bunch of 20-year-olds get it, a bunch of 20-year-olds get it. Now, I've been a long time a proponent of the idea that if you are 20 years old and you're at university and you get this thing, that is not the end of the world. You should just isolate from your elderly relatives. I've been a long time a proponent of the basic idea proposed by Hebrew University scientists, suggesting what they call control the avalanche, the idea being that if you are ever to reach herd immunity, because a vaccine may only be 50 to 60% effective. I know, bad news, right? It is bad news. But that is a reality. And you can either deal with reality or not deal with reality. A vaccine may only be 50 to 60% effective. There's no guarantee 100% of people are going to take it in the first place. Therapeutics are getting better. There is no guarantee that therapeutics are going to save anybody's life. Okay, the hospitalization versus death rate. Hospitalization rate is up. Death rate is down. Okay, these are all baseline facts. With that said, if you ever hope to reach some level of herd immunity, that's going to have to happen by protecting and shielding the vulnerable and the elderly, and by basically allowing the virus to move as it will through a 20-year-old population. Right? You start with the least vulnerable populations, and if they get it, they get it. And that's not the end of the world. Pretending that a 20-year-old getting COVID and recovering from it is the end of the world is ridiculous, anti-scientific nonsense. Okay, but naturally, because the economy is recovering and because the baseline awareness that you can't contain the virus is setting in, this is driving the media up a wall, because their entire narrative is that Donald Trump blew this. This is all Donald Trump's fault. So when Donald Trump's narrative, which is basically that we're going to have to live our lives and learn to live with the virus, becomes the mainstream narrative, then the talking point about COVID goes away. But Democrats and members of the media, but I repeat myself, continue to push talking points about COVID that are just outdated. So here is Shep Smith, now over at CNBC, asking Anthony Fauci why we cannot impose a 111-day lockdown the way they did in New Zealand. Okay, New Zealand has had a 111-day lockdown. They locked down the entire country when there were four cases in the country. Okay, and the answer is because we have an economy supporting 330 million people plus the rest of the globe. Here is Chef Smith, though, begging Anthony Fauci, why can't we just lock down the entire country, you know, indefinitely?
They had a 111-day lockdown, started with 20,000 cases a day, and as you pointed out, 2 days ago they had zero cases. Why can't we do that?
When you talk about lockdowns, that certainly they were extremely successful. There is very little appetite for a lockdown in this country. There's going to be a major pushback, both from above and at the local level.
Okay, well, yes, it's not just that there's pushback, it's that there ought to be pushback. Sacrificing every freedom and liberty that you have on the basis of a virus that, again, is deadlier than the flu, but is not nearly as deadly as many of the other diseases that we have talked about as being, you know, kind of contagion-style diseases. It is foolishness. I mean, even the WHO at this point says that lockdowns are bad. Nonetheless, the narrative must never be released. So Dr. Vin Gupta over at MSNBC, he says that it's time to shut down schools and restaurants. Okay, there's a case to be made with regard to closed-air restaurants. There's no case to be made with regard to schools. Even Europe has the schools open still.
Do I think that indoor dining, Craig, do I think that in-person schooling are likely going to have to reconsider those particular parts of society right now in the midst of an out-of-control pandemic? Yes, I do. Because right now, the only way you can safely open up schools, Craig, is on-site testing. And unless you're an affluent school district, you don't have access to it right now. Indoor dining, we know it's needless, and we know that that's been a source of spread of this virus. So I
Okay, on the restaurant, he's not totally wrong. On the schools, he's utterly and absolutely wrong. Okay, my kids have been in school. There's been no outbreak. Okay, the reason there's been no outbreak is because you are asked to fill in a wellness report every day. If any kid shows a symptom, they're immediately sent home, and then they're quarantined until it can be determined whether they are healthy. Plus, kids are not passing this in the same numbers as adults, particularly kids under the age of 10. Okay, this is all anti-scientific. Okay, that's anti-scientific stuff. It is all based on a myth. The myth is that we know the solution to COVID, and the solution to COVID is all the stuff Trump doesn't want to do. So Trump doesn't want to do lockdowns. That means that the solution to COVID is lockdown. Trump doesn't like masks particularly much. That means that the solution to COVID is masking. More on that in just a second. But first, investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify. NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18% to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now, 800-754-83. That is 800-754-83. Or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net. So Joe Biden is now pushing national mask mandates. According to the New York Times, as the nation heads into what public health experts are calling a dark winter of coronavirus illness and death, public health experts are coalescing around Joe Biden's call for a national mask mandate, even as they concede such an effort would require much more than the stroke of a presidential pen. Over the past week, a string of prominent public health experts, notably Fauci, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, former commissioner of the FDA under Trump, have said it is time to seriously consider a national mandate to curb the spread of the virus. Overseas this week, President Vladimir Putin of Russia became the latest foreign leader to impose a national mandate for citizens to wear masks. Biden has conceded a presidential order for Americans to wear masks would almost certainly face and most likely fall to a legal challenge. Biden has already said that as president, he would mandate masks on all federal property, an executive order that could theoretically have wide reach. Also, he could require masks on public transportation under federal transit law, and he could prod governors who are resisting mask mandates to at least require masks in public buildings in their states. Okay, so let's talk about mask mandates for a second. First of all, when caseload gets heavy, people wear masks. This is what the data show. It does not matter whether there is a mandate or whether there is no mandate. When there was a big uptick in Florida, Florida is not a mask mandate state. Guess what? People started wearing masks. When there was no uptick in Florida, people were not wearing masks. When there's heavy cases in Texas, people will start wearing masks. People take action to protect themselves. This is a thing that they do. National mask mandates, threatening to throw people in jail or fine them for not wearing a mask properly. First of all, the vast majority of people who are wearing masks are not doing so in medically approved fashion. It's better than nothing in some cases. But in a lot of cases, I mean, how many times do you see somebody walking around with a mask under their nose, virtue signaling? How many times do you see people wearing neck gaiters? Those are pretty controversial scientifically as to whether those are helpful or whether they are, in fact, not helpful. In fact, one thing that we know about mask mandates is that they are no guarantee of preventing an uptick. Yinon Weiss has gone through the data over on Twitter. He's a data guy. And here are just some graphs of how mask mandates have worked out in particular countries. Okay, so if you look at European COVID-19 cases per million, masks required versus no masks required. What you see is Sweden, Norway, and Denmark are coming in well below right now. Germany, Ireland, Portugal, Italy, Austria, UK, Spain, France, Czech Republic, and Belgium, all of which have mask mandates. Okay, so it is not really about mask mandates being the great solution. And you can do this by country, right? Yannone Weiss goes through this. So take a look, for example, at Austria. So Austria mandated masks after they had already hit the downslope of their original wave. That mask mandate never waned. They didn't get rid of the mask mandate. Now Austria is experiencing 250 cases per million. Okay, they put in a mask mandate when they were experiencing about 50 cases per million. Okay, or take a look at Germany. It mandated masks about halfway down their original recovery, according to Yannone Weiss, okay, when they were about 25 cases per million. Now they're experiencing close to 120 cases per million. That mask mandate never waned. How about France? So France waited longer to mandate the masks. They have about 1,000% the daily cases when they mandated masks, despite having one of the highest mask compliance levels in the world. Spain put in a mask mandate. Okay, Spain put in a mask mandate around May 17th, May 20th. Okay, they are now 1,500% up on their case level. The British held out on masks for a long time. Then they mandated masks, and guess what? Did not stop the wave. Okay, this does not mean that masks are useless. Masks are useful in certain scenarios. But the idea that a mask mandate is going to solve this thing is absolute silliness. People are going to wear masks when they feel like they're in danger. They're not going to wear masks when they don't feel like they are in danger. But again, this is all about promulgating a narrative in the United States that the solution is at hand and that all that is required is for Joe Biden to implement that solution. The data are not there. This is why when I hear people on the left say, follow the science, follow the science. I'm sorry, but the Democratic Party is not following the science. They're not. This is the same Democratic Party downplaying the vaccine. I mean, Andrew Cuomo, the worst governor in America. Andrew Cuomo, who's out pushing a book about what a great job he did with COVID in a state that had the second worst death per million rate in America. He's now saying the federal government hasn't started to focus on a COVID vaccine. Like this is, he's spouting absolute bullcrap, but he's Captain Science here. Here is Andrew Cuomo, upheld by the DNC as a model of what you should do about COVID.
This is basically, let's call it halftime in the game, right? We went through the first phase. We had a brief respite before the fall, and now we're going to have the fall and the winter, and then vaccination, which is a whole long, difficult process that the federal government hasn't even started to focus on. It's not about finding the vaccine. You then have to administer 330 million doses, right?
Okay, actually, the federal government has been working on that for quite a long time, you idiot. By the way, he also lies about his own record. He then says it's a conspiracy theory if you're worried about nursing homes in New York, despite the fact that there was an actual policy to ship people with COVID back into nursing homes, and that he then refused to reveal the actual stats on how many people had died in nursing homes and falsified the stats by claiming that people who were diagnosed with COVID in nursing homes and then died at the hospital were not actually in nursing homes. Here is liar and fabulous Andrew Cuomo.
If you look at how many people died in New York nursing homes, New York is number 46 out of 50 states in the percentage of deaths in nursing homes. The conspiracy they're trying to spread just has no factual basis. But yes, people in nursing homes died, and they're playing politics with the issue, which I think is especially cruel.
Okay, playing politics with the issue? Dude, you put out a poster. You sold a poster about your own incredible performance after a horrifying performance and a creation of a death curve that looked a lot like the don't have this death curve chart that we were all shown at the beginning of the pandemic. But don't worry, this is the party of science. This is the party of science. A little more on that in a moment. But folks, Election Day, it's right around the corner. Voting is an all-time high. I mean, an all-time high. The total number of votes in Texas is already past where it was in 2016, and we haven't even had Election Day yet. Early in-person voting has taken over the country. Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Florida, Texas, Ohio. The good news is you're turning out in record numbers. The bad news is people on the other side are also turning out in record numbers. This means you need to get involved right now. To figure out where to go and how, go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. The folks at Job Creators Network provide the most up-to-date voting information, information you can count on. The 2016 election was decided by thousands of votes, not millions. Over 400,000 of you have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I want to see that number reach a million plus. Make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history because conservatives are going to need it. Visit KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Commit to take just one person to the polls or help someone complete a mail-in ballot. Do a little bit, do a lot, but do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. Again, that's KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. I always get questions from people. How can I help? What can I do to help conservatism? Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now and get involved. Coming up, a series of beheadings over in France by Islamic radicals. We'll talk about that and what ramifications does it have for our broader politics. That's coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So I'd be remiss if I didn't cover what's been going on in France, a series of beheadings of people, some in churches, one teacher, over drawings of the Prophet Muhammad. There were two separate horrifying attacks in France. Three people died in a knife attack in a church in Nice over the last couple of days in what French President Emmanuel Macron said was an Islamist terror attack. He said France would not surrender its core values after visiting the Notre Dame Basilica in the southern city. An extra 4,000 troops were being deployed to protect churches and schools in Nice. In Nice, one elderly victim was virtually beheaded. Another woman and a man also died. A male suspect was shot and detained. Well, presumably they should have tried to tase him, according to those who don't like the police. Anti-terror prosecutors have opened an investigation into the attack. France has raised its national security alert to its highest level. According to the French anti-terrorist prosecutor Jean-François Ricard, he said the attacker was seriously wounded by police, that he was a 21-year-old Tunisian national who'd arrived in France earlier this month. He had a document issued by the Italian Red Cross. He had traveled by boat from Tunisia to the Italian island of Lampedusa in September. He was placed in coronavirus quarantine there before he was released and told to leave Italy. The suspect had been cutting off people's heads while shouting endlessly, Allahu Akbar. Two other attacks took place on Thursday, one in France and one in Saudi Arabia. A man was shot dead in Montfavet near a southern French city of Amiens after threatening police with a handgun. Also, a guard was attacked outside the French consulate in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. A suspect was arrested. The guard was taken to the hospital. This, of course, follows closely on the recent murder of the teacher Samuel Paty, who was beheaded close to his school outside Paris earlier this month after he showed a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad in his classroom. Police have not suggested a motive for the attack in Nice. I think that the part where he's screaming Allahu Akbar while chopping off someone's head is a pretty good indicator. It follows days of protests in some Muslim-majority countries triggered by President Macron's defense of the publication of cartoons that depicted Muhammad. There have been calls in some countries for a boycott of French goods. So two people died in the church, a 60-year-old woman who was virtually beheaded, a 55-year-old man whose throat was cut. Apparently, the man was responsible for the upkeep of the church and had a wife and two kids. Another woman who was 44 fled to a nearby cafe after she was stabbed several times. She died later. So what we are watching in France is a small wave of terrorism that follows hard upon controversy over people showing a cartoon of Muhammad. The question is whether the West is going to have enough of a belief in its own value system to stand up to this sort of disgusting Islamic fascism. Okay, not all Muslims believe this stuff. There are many, many Muslims, some of whom I've talked to on this program, who believe that you have the right to show a picture of Muhammad, that you have, that you can do all of that and not have your head chopped off. Unfortunately, there are, in fact, hundreds of millions of people who believe that if you show a picture of the Prophet Muhammad, that at the very least, you might want to have, you may deserve to have your head chopped off. And to pretend this is a completely fringe phenomenon is to ignore the fact that it is not, in fact, a completely fringe phenomenon. How do we know this? Because the Prime Minister of Malaysia, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, okay, Malaysia is a country with a population of, right now, 31.53 million people, Malaysia. It is one of the larger Muslim countries on planet Earth. The former Prime Minister of Malaysia tweeted out, "Muslims have a right to be angry and to kill millions of French people for the massacres of the past." Muhammad said, "Killing is not an act that, as a Muslim I would approve." But he also doesn't think insulting other people should be included in freedom of expression. He said, "You cannot go up to a man and curse him simply because you believe in freedom of speech. Irrespective of the religion professed, angry people kill. The French, in the course of their history, have killed millions of people. Many were Muslims. Since you have blamed all Muslims and the Muslims' religion for what was done by one angry person, the Muslims have a right to punish the French. Any boycott cannot compensate the wrongs committed by the French all these years." And that's when he said Muslims have a right to be angry and kill millions of French people for the massacres of the past. Twitter hesitated on this. They didn't ban the tweet immediately. It's one thing to ban the New York Post, like right off the bat, for publishing emails from Hunter Biden. It's another to ban people saying that Muslims have the right to kill millions of French people from a former prime minister of Malaysia. But it is there's one line in there that is worthy of note. When he says you cannot go up to a man and curse him simply because you believe in freedom of speech. Okay, this is a view of free speech that unfortunately has been taken up by many people on the political left. Scotland right now is about to put forth a law that basically allows for the arrest of people for hate speech. Okay, it is scary, scary stuff. There's a Scottish bill that would criminalize hate speech in private homes. Mairead McArdle reporting for National Review. A controversial bill making its way through Scotland's parliament would criminalize hate speech even if the offending words were uttered in someone's private home. Members of the Scottish parliament questioned Justice Secretary Humza Yousaf for the first time on Tuesday about the hate crime and public order bill, which would establish a new crime, quote-unquote, stirring up hatred. The legislation criminalizes hate speech related to age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity, and variations in sex characteristics, including potentially hate speech spoken in private residences. After criticisms from groups saying that the bill threatens to stifle free speech, Yousaf agreed to amend the legislation when it reaches stage two of consideration in Parliament. The amendment will stipulate offenders may only be prosecuted if they had, quote-unquote, intent to stir up hatred. He said, "I'm very actively considering both the breadth and depth of freedom of expression clauses. We have to be aware of some of the concerns that may be expressed if we were to have a generic freedom of expression clause. Would that be specific enough to give people the reassurances that they desire? It is a full-scale destruction of basic individual rights. It is being pursued in Western countries. It has unfortunately become a talking point of many on the left in the United States as well, which is that the individual rights that you hold are a danger to others. The right to free speech is a danger because you might commit blasphemy. Right, you might harm somebody's perception of their own religion. Good for Emmanuel Macron. He has said, no, you do have the right to actually exhibit pictures of the Prophet Muhammad if you wish to do so in a Western country. I just wonder if, as we move forward in time, as we continue to apologize for Western civilization, as we continue to apologize for our rights, as we continue to suggest that the roots of Western civilization lie in racism, bigotry, homophobia, and cruelty, if we are willing to stand up for individual rights with a multicultural left intent on the idea that rights are themselves responsible for the violation of the rights, that all you have to do is curb rights and you'll reach utopia. It doesn't mean that everybody is in favor of beheading people who draw pictures of Muhammad, but it does mean there are an awful lot of people on the left who would like to see that sort of activity, drawing Muhammad, made illegal so as not to set people off, so we can all live in a world free of offense. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce believes that the health of business is the most important factor in a strong, vibrant community. This is Jake Mangus, Chamber President and CEO. We work closely with local elected officials to ensure their policy decisions take into account the business perspective. That's why the Chamber puts its name behind candidates representing our community that best exemplify what our members care about. I'm pleased to announce the Chamber's local ticket for the upcoming election. The Chamber's Board of Directors gives its full endorsement to Assemblywoman Megan Dolly for re-election in California's 1st Assembly District. At the county level, the Chamber supports Supervisor Steve Morgan for re-election in District 4. And in the city of Reading, the Chamber supports Mayor Adam McElvain and former Mayor Julie Winter for City Council. Say it with me, Dolly, Morgan, McElvain, Winter. Help us re-elect this slate of business-friendly candidates by casting your ballot this fall. This ad was not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlling a candidate, paid for by the Reading Chamber Political Action Committee.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in Jefferson State of Mind.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help Now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We are taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Sam in Madison, Wisconsin. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Madison. Sam, rather.
I wanted to know your opinion on if Trump can win Wisconsin and how it affects the Electoral College either way.
So he certainly can win Wisconsin. Will he? That seems to be one of the states that's gotten away from him most. So if you look at the polling averages, he seems to be closest in the swing states in Pennsylvania. Maybe even Minnesota. Wisconsin, Biden is up in the polling averages by upward of 6%. Trafalgar is the group that keeps saying that Trump is much closer than any other group. They've got Biden up by one there. Marquette, in their most recent poll, has Biden up by five there. That is down from some of the other polling. Like, there's one real outlier poll from ABC News Washington Post that had Biden up 17 there. I think that is a wild overestimate. So I think Wisconsin's closer than the polls are suggesting. But it's definitely one of the outlier states. If Trump were to win Wisconsin, you would assume he'd probably also win Pennsylvania, which seems a little bit closer. If he wins Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, the election's over, he wins. If he loses Wisconsin, he's probably going to lose Michigan. That means he has to win Pennsylvania. So he either needs to win Wisconsin or he needs to win Pennsylvania and then hold all the other states that he won last time if he wishes to retain the presidency. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether there is, in fact, any increased turnouts, particularly in the suburbs, rural areas that aren't fond of seeing some of the riots that you've seen in Wisconsin over the past several months. Wisconsin was an important win for Trump, is an important pickup for Trump last time around. If you're ranking the blue wall states of Hillary Clinton that Trump won last time in terms of which is most likely to be back in Trump's camp this time, it probably right now goes Pennsylvania, then Wisconsin, and finally Michigan. Appreciate the call, Sam. All righty. Michael in Florida, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Michael.
So what I'm worried about, Ben, is there an army of young voters coming out for the first time or who didn't vote in 16 that provides an offset to what may be or we hope to be the silent Trump majority that hasn't really been reflected in the polls? And I wanted to get your perspective on that. And then then real quick, the other thing that worries me is Trump, you know, carried suburban women in 16. He's not going to, it doesn't seem like he's going to do it this time around. And what's the impact on that as well?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at various voter groups, Trump is doing much, much worse with women generally, suburban women particularly. He's doing much worse with than he did last time around. He's doing much worse with college-educated whites than he did last time around. He's doing worse, in fact, with high school-educated whites than he was doing last time around by the polling date. He's doing slightly better with black men. He's doing better with Hispanics than he did last time around. Unclear whether that fills the gap or whether it does not. It's one of the reasons why he's looking pretty good in Florida, but Ohio is looking a lot closer than it ought to. Remember, he won Ohio going away last time. As far as the worries about young voters, I'm not too worried about young voters because young voters are always touted by the Democrats in the media as like this new wave that are going to show up in massive numbers, and then they never show up. Young voters always have pots of smoke and video games to play. So young voters rarely show up in massive numbers to the polls. Democrats have been counting on a wave of young voters filling the gap for them for very, very many years. Barack Obama didn't really do that. He really brought out a lot of first-time black voters, but it wasn't in a particularly youthful contingent. So I think that if the Democrats are staking their hopes on the millennial generation, if they're staking their hopes on Generation X or something, or Generation Y, rather, I think that if Generation Y and the millennials, I think that that's going to probably be a mistake for them. But I don't think that they have to hinge their hopes on that sort of stuff. As far as the silent Trump majority, the big problem with arguing about a silent Trump majority is that how exactly do you even gauge that data? It's all anecdotal by nature. I'm very, very hesitant to use anecdotal data because it has been wrong most of the time. Typically, stats are better than anecdotal data. I mean, if I were just to go by anecdotal data, I would say, yeah, I see more Trump signs than I see Biden signs. I see more people wearing around Trump hats and Trump T-shirts. I see more enthusiasm for Trump than for Biden, although I see a lot of enthusiasm against Trump for sure. But I don't think anecdotal data is very useful. I think that if we're going to look at the polls right now, there are plausible scenarios where Trump narrowly wins. There are plausible scenarios where Biden wins narrowly. There are plausible scenarios where Biden wins very broad. I don't see a plausible Trump cleans him. I just don't see that plausible scenario, certainly not in the popular vote.
Thanks so much, man. You're great.
I appreciate the call. Julia in Georgia, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Julia.
I think one of Trump's weaker topics in the town hall and the debates has been health care, and it's really important to a lot of my friends that I know on the left. And I just wanted to know how you would articulate what he's done so far and what you predict his plan will do if he's reelected, because I don't think he's done that very well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. So I think that Trump has done a few things that are pretty obvious. He's attempted to lower prescription drug prices by calling for prescription drug companies to have to negotiate directly with the federal government instead of negotiating with individual insurance providers. President Trump has gotten rid of the individual mandate, which is a pretty popular thing. People didn't like having to pay an individual mandate to the federal government at the behest of the federal government. So that he got rid of. He had put forward a bunch of executive orders on price transparency, trying to get it to be to the point where you can actually ask your insurance company or a doctor's office for a price on a particular good or service, and you would receive that. He eliminated the Cadillac plan taxes that Obamacare had, where they were taxing union plans, for example, expanded association health plans. So if you were an association and you got together and you tried to buy a health plan, those were restricted under Obamacare. He got rid of the Obamacare mandates that forced religious organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor to cover contraceptive coverage or to deal with contraceptive coverage at all. He did lower the Medicare Advantage premiums as much as 40% in some states. Medicare Advantage, of course, is your ability to opt into supplemental health insurance via private industry after you receive Medicare. So there are some things that he has done for sure. The problem is that people typically don't understand healthcare very well because it's extremely, extremely complicated. The United States' healthcare system is such a complex mix of public and private that any one of those sort of incremental changes doesn't sound big, right? It's very easy to say, I'm going to lower prices. And then you can either point to lower prices or not point to lower prices. It is true that in some areas prices have gone down. It is also true that in some areas prices have gone up. It is much easier to say, like Joe Biden is saying, I want a public option. That's something people can wrap their mind around, than Trump saying that he is going to get rid of the individual mandate, which immediately transitions into a conversation about, okay, so how are you going to pay for Obamacare? Are you going to throw people off their private insurance? What about pre-existing conditions and all of that? So Trump has not put forward a comprehensive health care plan. I think the reason he hasn't done that is because any comprehensive health care plan will immediately be shredded. I mean, Mitt Romney was famous for putting forward these very comprehensive plans that would then be taken apart and shredded by the media. Trump has never done that. He's spoken in vague terms. But I think that when Democrats talk about health care and Trump shredding health care, what they're really saying is Trump's only talking point is I don't like Obamacare. Americans have a bias toward stagnancy on health care. They liked the system before Obamacare. They liked the system after Obamacare, not because they actually like the system, but because nobody understands the system and they just don't want their health insurance taken away.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
Julie, I appreciate the call. Terry in Colorado, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Terry.
Hey, Ben. We are in the process of recalling our we're signing petitions to recall the Democratic governor here. So hope that it goes well. But anyway, petitions are going out. But my question to you is this. Why are we hearing there's 220-some thousand deaths from COVID when you hear report after report from, you know, every once in a while saying there's only about 10,000? Why would the hospitals or, you know, those in charge of the medical lie to us about those numbers?
Okay, so they're not lying about the numbers. So some of the deaths that have been talked about when they say, for example, that 90, so the 10,000 number comes from a CDC report showing that 94% of people with COVID-19 who died had other underlying conditions. Okay, so people have read that to mean that only 6% of the people who have actually died of COVID. That's not true. Okay, so that's just a misread of the stats. So if I have an underlying heart condition, I'm not going to die from that underlying heart condition. If I have diabetes, I'm living fine with diabetes, then I get COVID. Diabetes worsens my condition because I already had diabetes, and then I die because of the COVID. So was COVID the thing that killed me, or was diabetes the thing that killed me? Well, it's pretty obvious COVID was the thing that killed you, and the diabetes contributed, right? Because you had diabetes and you were alive and you were fine. You just had diabetes. and then COVID hit you, you're already vulnerable. The fact is that COVID tends to hit people who have significant underlying conditions. If you don't have significant underlying conditions, if you are healthy and if you are relatively young, you in all likelihood, and I mean all likelihood, like 99.9% likelihood, are not going to die of COVID. The people who say that this means only 10,000 people died of COVID, that's wrong. You can make the case that people who are 85 and died of COVID, that the life expectancy at that point is already pretty short and that you die of pretty much anything at that age. And there is some truth to that. But if you're diabetic and you're 65 years old, you could live another 20 years, 25 years as a diabetic. But COVID kills you because you had the diabetes underlying. So, yes, 220,000 people have died of COVID. I don't doubt those stats. When people say died with COVID versus died of COVID, those statistical anomalies do exist. There are people who are labeled as died with COVID, even though they probably died of something else. They had a heart attack, and then after they had the heart attack, we looked at them and they had COVID, and we label it a COVID death, right? There are those sorts of mistakes, but it is also true that there are a lot of people who are dying in their home. We don't actually know if they died of COVID or not, and they're not counted as COVID deaths. So the question is whether 220,000 is an underestimate or an overestimate. I'll say that it's fairly accurate by best available data. I would not fall for the propagandistic line that only 10,000 people have died of COVID because so many people who died of COVID died with other underlying conditions as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. I appreciate the call. John in New Haven, Connecticut, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, John.
Hi, Ben. How are you? I was just wondering how the COVID uptick will affect the results on Tuesday.
So I think that the COVID uptick could theoretically have two results, one bad for Trump, one good for Trump. One, the people who are most scared of COVID are Democrats. Democrats, for some reason, have an outsized fear of COVID. It's because the media have been treating COVID as the bubonic plague or airborne Ebola. Now, listen, we should all be cautious with COVID, particularly if we have relatives with underlying conditions or if we ourselves do or if we know elderly people we are in contact with. This is not a call to be cavalier about COVID. But by polls, the people who are going to show up to the polls on election day are Republicans. If a bunch of Democrats decide, okay, I'm staying home on election day because I'm afraid of COVID and it's out there right now and it's going to kill me, you could theoretically see outsized Republican voting on election day and not as much Democratic voting on election day. It's why you're seeing Nancy Pelosi out there now saying, you know what? You know what? Maybe you should just go and vote in person after spending months telling you that it was unsafe to vote in person and you needed to mail in your ballot. So that is possibility number one. Possibility number two is there could be a bunch of Trump voters who are, you know, who are kind of queasy about Trump, but they look at the left and they say, I just don't want those guys in charge. But the fact that COVID is out there, it kind of depresses them. Like there is a vague depressive effect to bad news for a campaign. Trump is the president. There was economic good news that came out this week, but the COVID bad news, the feeling that we're about to go into another unmitigated lockdown, that there's going to be a wave of deaths, and that they just don't want the chaos and they don't want the added stress of whatever Trump is tweeting out today. You could see a bunch of kind of on the fence Republicans go, oh, I think he's going to lose anyway. I'm just not up for it. Is it really worth the risk? And, you know, it's not that COVID will be a direct factor in them not voting. It's that it'll just be another contributing factor in their overall sort of malaise about Trump generally. That's a possibility. I think in the end, COVID is really going to have very little impact. I think people have made up their minds on Trump. I think they've made up their minds about Biden. I think right now everything is basically baked into the cake. But the media are definitely relying on COVID because they want to change the narrative away from the economy, right? The narrative for the media has to be that Trump blew COVID in unprecedented ways, and that's why so many people have died. They still cannot name all the ways in which Trump actually blew COVID other than he didn't just keep saying masks over and over again, which, as we now learn from Europe, is not, in fact, an effective tactic at stopping the spread of COVID. But they have to continue to promulgate that myth, and so they shall, because obviously they want Biden to be president.
Great. Thank you so much, Ben. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thanks, John. All righty. In just a second, we'll take more of your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. First, let us talk about the fact that it's been a rough year out there for everybody. You haven't done a lot of smiling, but there will come a time when you smile again. And when you do, you want those teeth to be perfectly straight and perfectly aligned. Unfortunately, you didn't follow your orthodontist advice. And back when you were a teenager, you stopped wearing your retainer. Your teeth have slipped out of place. You don't want braces again, because who wants that? Instead, why not grab some Candid Clear Aligners? They are comfortable, removable, practically invisible, unlike wire braces, so you can transform your smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. It's all done from the comfort and convenience of your own home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, your supervising orthodontist will be with you every step of the way with Candid. Your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. You will always know, which I absolutely love. The average Candid treatment, just 6 months, you'll start seeing results way before then. It costs thousands of bucks less than braces. So start straightening your chompers today. Right now, my listeners save $75 on Candid's starter kit. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Take advantage of the limited time offer. Save $75 on your starter kit. CandidCO.com/Ben. Code Ben. Alrighty, coming up, more of your phone calls, 855-236-3228. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
When the coronavirus struck your community, what if you had no soap or masks, no food or proper shelter, no access to medical care? This is the reality for the world's most vulnerable people. They have no safety net for this crisis. But
Dr. Farrell and Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Powder prior to the diagnosis. Call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-837-0065. 800-837-0065. That's 800-837-0065.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Jesse in Alabama, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jesse.
Thank you, Ben, for taking my call. I am the owner of a small video business here in Alabama. My question to you is, if Joe Biden wins because of all the tax cuts he wants to repeal, is there any way in your mind that my business and livelihood could survive under a Harris-Biden administration?
Well, Biden wants to raise taxes on corporations, so it depends how you're organized. Either if you're organized as a pass-through, which means the individual income tax rate goes up, or if you're organized as a corporation, then he wants to raise the corporate income tax as well. So that will have some pretty significant impact on your business. He could also change the law with regard to unionization, depending on how many employees you have, how big your company grows. So there could be impacts there. Generally speaking, when there is an economic malaise, then people tend to patronize stores less. And that just is the reality. So if there's a generalized economic malaise, then obviously that could cut into your profit margins as well. You know, I'd be worried about all of that. I mean, I run a business, too. I'm not really fond of the business climate that I'm afraid that Joe Biden is about to create for me. So if I ran a smaller business, I'd be even more afraid because typically smaller businesses are characterized by lower profit margins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just the sole proprietor right now. So I work for me, myself, and I.
Yep. And you know, it'll be I think there are going to be a lot of people who get hurt economically by the Biden tax plan. By his regulatory schemes. He's not somebody who's going to make business easier. I think it's that simple. One of the reasons the economy has done so well under Trump is not even necessarily because of what Trump has done so much as the generalized attitude of the Trump administration, which is go run your business and we'll leave you alone. That certainly was not the attitude of the Obama administration, and businesses invested concomitantly. Jesse, appreciate the call. Ashley in Lebanon, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Ashley.
Hey, Ben, how are you? I just have a question. So I just want to know what your thoughts were on the hypocrisy of the recent AOC backlash with Vanity Fair cover. And what were your thoughts on, you know, it does seem hypocritical since, you know, she's on the cover in a 14 grand outfit, regardless if she kept it or not. I'm sure she was paid pretty well to do that. And yet at the same time, she's over here running a campaign that basically surrounds around the fact that America is racist, sexist, and oppressed. And she doesn't seem to understand why it's hypocritical.
Yeah, well, so I think that, you know, her wearing a $14,000 outfit in a Vanity Fair cover shoot, look, she doesn't own the outfit, so she can go and buy the outfit, although she's done a bunch of photo shoots in very expensive clothing before. There is something that is somewhat classist about her dressing up to the nines in this very expensive outfit while decrying the evils of capitalism. Right? I mean, like, that outfit is worth $14,000. Somebody bought it for her to wear, so there is that. But, you know, as far as her generalized critique, her critique is, well, this is bad faith, right? She said, this is what she tweeted. The whole she wore clothes in a magazine, let's pretend they're hers gimmick, is a classic Republican strategy of let's willfully act stupid, and if the public doesn't take our performative stupidity seriously, we'll claim bias. GOP, get yourselves together. It's sad. So I have a question. That's her entire strategy. She literally does that every day. She willfully says something unbelievably stupid, and then if we don't take her very seriously, she whines that we're biased against her and mean to her. That is her entire shtick. She says some of the dumbest crap I've ever heard fall out of the mouth of a human being. But if we don't take her seriously as an economic genius because she went to Boston University and then bartended for a living, then apparently we're sexist. So yeah, speaking of performative politics, she doesn't get to complain too much about the performative nature of politics and the dishonest nature of politics when she does this kind of garbage like literally all the time. This is her stock in trade. So again, so I think it's a big deal that she wore a $14,000 suit on the cover of Vanity Fair. I don't. I just think that this is a woman who, if she had her way, there would be no such thing as a $14,000 suit because no one would be earning enough money to buy a $14,000 suit. So there's a certain irony to that for sure. Also, there's just something to the glam of Vanity Fair that doesn't really seem to mesh with the socialist message all that well. Like Vanity Fair is for upper class rich people. Or how many people who are earning $35,000 a year subscribe to Vanity Fair? My guess is very, very, very few. That is catered to the upper income crowd. And the sort of glam socialism that AOC represents is always very silly in the extreme. So that's where I think the irony lies, Ashley. Appreciate the call. Thomas in Florida, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Thomas.
Hey, Ben. So I'm pro-life like you, and I was wondering if you would support a tax raise that would pay for women who take their childbearing to term and to pay for their operation. And then women can complain that, you know, it's too expensive or yada, yada, yada. And if they didn't want to keep the baby, they could hand it over immediately to adoption services or something.
So there are plenty of charitable groups that do this. I'm not sure that you'd have to do this through a government agency. There are plenty of charitable groups that will help women who are pregnant with their prenatal costs. I contribute to some of them. And they are perfectly willing to help facilitate adoption as well. As you know, my general rule of thumb when it comes to charitable activity is that it should start with private charity at the local level, then it should move up to the state level if you need be, and then finally to the federal level. I think starting at the federal level to subsidize, you know, that sort of healthcare. First of all, we already do it. It's called Medicaid, right? We're already subsidizing pregnancy care for people who can't afford it. But beyond that, I'm all in favor of charitable giving. I think the charitable giving ought to first be applied at the local level, which is why so many of us in the conservative community take our own money and our own time and contribute it to groups that help women with their prenatal care. Really appreciate the call. All righty. Well, we are now 4 days from the election. Four. Count them, four. Getting very, very close now. We'll be back in just a moment to discuss everything election-related as we draw nearer to the big day. Where do the polls stand? And the economy. on the uptick. So what happens when Joe Biden gets into office? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump and his challenger, Joe Biden, both campaigning across the Midwest battleground states Friday. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
With the presidential campaign entering its final weekend, the two candidates each held three rallies in three Midwestern states. President Trump focused on the economy in Michigan.
A vote for me is to keep and create auto jobs and all sorts of jobs in Michigan, where they belong.
In Iowa, Joe Biden criticized the president's handling of the pandemic.
We've now hit 9 million cases nationwide, a tragic milestone.
Both candidates had campaign stops in Wisconsin and Minnesota on the same day, one day after both stumping in Florida. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, some people love it, others hate it, but it is that time of the year. Shelley Adler explains.
Dealing with the changes that COVID-19 has brought is tough enough. Starting Sunday, with daylight saving time, most Americans will also have less light during the day. Dr. Phyllis Z is a sleep specialist with Northwestern University.
But not only are we dealing with the natural changes, but COVID has really restricted individuals from their usual kind of what I would say social structure, which is also an important aspect of what I would call circadian health.
Her suggestions, exercise, and get as much light as possible. I'm Shelley Adler.
ExxonMobil reporting its third consecutive quarter of losses as the pandemic curtails travel and cripples global economic activity. Energy giant posted a $680 million third quarter loss. On Wall Street, stocks sharply lower Friday, closing out a very tough week and also its first back-to-back monthly loss since March. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Excuse me, why don't you have life insurance yet?
I've got diabetes, and I know the price will be through the roof with a pre-existing condition.
Well, actually, SelectQuote makes it easy to get very affordable life insurance, even if you have a health issue.
I'm listening.
You'll get quotes from some of the country's most trusted carriers. Even with your diabetes, you can get around $250,000 in insurance for as little as a dollar a day.
That would be amazing. What's it called again?
SelectQuote. Just call or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote. Get the coverage you need at a price you can afford. Call 1-800-694-1010 or go to SelectQuote.com today. That's 1-800-694-1010 or SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Monthly premiums vary based on health, company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell defending the confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett after the GOP refused to vote on President Obama's Supreme Court nominee during his last year in office. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew explains.
Leader McConnell tells the Salem Radio Network when it comes to judicial nominations.
Well, it's not complicated.
He says the Constitution makes the Senate something of a co-partner with the president when it comes to filling vacancies.
And it's not surprising when you have a Senate of the same party as the president. There's a lot more willingness to move and to move quickly. And that's what we did with regard to the Ginsburg vacancy.
Barrett's confirmation was one of the fastest ever, the closest ever to a presidential election. Bob Agnew reporting.
Well-known journalist in Mexico is dead. Officials say Arturo Albino Medina was found dead in Juarez. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, turkey farmers worry how COVID-19 might impact Thanksgiving. The story from correspondent Ed Donahue.
Large indoor gatherings go against social distancing guidelines. Dee Dee Boyce wonders what will happen to the turkeys on her farm in California.
Whether people will even be having holidays, let alone the size of their holiday.
At her meat shop in San Francisco, Angela Wilson is not talking big turkeys.
We think we'll sell smaller birds or different things like porchetta or guinea fowl.
But Beth Breeding with the National Turkey Federation says you don't have to eat everything in one day.
Leftovers are a hot commodity. There are a lot of things you can do with them, from the sandwich to enchiladas.
Grocery retailers are buying turkeys of all sizes, as well as more plant-based meats. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker.
Hi, Rob Burrows here from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We'd like to thank all who participated in the Iron Soldier Ride October 4th. It was a great turnout, and you helped us raise funds necessary to feed veterans at the holidays and pay for shipping of packages for our troops. Special thanks to Steve McCarley and everyone at Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, plus all the generous sponsors. At this time, we'd like to remind you to consider donating any leftover Halloween candy we can send to our troops during our Christmas packaging event. If you would like to donate leftover candy for packages for the troops or non-perishable food items for our holiday meals for veterans and families of those deployed, please call the Northern California Veterans Museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And again, thanks for your generous support. That number again, 378-2280.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Redding has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Former Associate Attorney General of the United States, former Mayor of New York City, and current personal attorney to President Trump, Mayor Giuliani, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Ben. Pleasure to talk to you.
So let's talk, obviously, about the Hunter Biden email scandal. So what exactly does it show and what does it not show? So having seen all the New York Post reports and the Fox News reports and watched the interviews with Tony Bobulinski, what it seems to show is that Joe Biden knew that Hunter, if all of that is taken at face value, that Joe Biden knew about Hunter Biden's activities. It doesn't necessarily show deep involvement by Joe Biden in Hunter Biden's activities. There are sort of implications that Joe Biden may be, quote unquote, the big guy, that perhaps there was money that would have been held in escrow for him or stock held in escrow for him if a Chinese deal went through. Is there any evidence that he actually ever received any money from any of these foreign deals directly?
Well, there is. What is missing are bank records, which, of course, he could only get if the FBI ever investigated this. So there's one text message that goes unmentioned too often, but I think it's the critical part of the case. And if I were prosecuting it, this is the thing that I think would convict all of them. It's, I believe, January 3rd, 2019. And it's from Hunter Biden to his daughter, Naomi. And it's kind of a little bit bitter about how he's been treated, because basically over 30 years, Joe has been pinking him out to collect money for him. So here's his words. I love all of you, but I don't receive any respect, and that's fine, I guess. Works for you, apparently. I hope you all can do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard. But don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary. So basically what he's saying here is that for 30 years, he's been collecting money for Dad. He pays for expenses, and then he turns cash over to Dad. Now, a responsible, honest investigator would not take that at face value. There are certain things that now have to be done. For example, all of the Biden five homes have to be, all the documents there have to be subpoenaed. We have to find out the answer to a question that's perplexed the media for a while, which is how Joe Biden, on a salary of a senator, has five palatial homes and lives like a multimillionaire. When you get those documents, you'll find out who paid for the homes. I don't know, maybe Joe was a great investor. Or maybe it's true that Hunter was pumping the money in that was coming from Ukraine, Iraq, Russia, a bunch of sleazy lobbyists. His brother was a sleazy lobbyist, got in trouble numerous times for it, with suspicions that he was using Joe's influence. Joe said the same thing he said about Hunter. I don't know anything about my family business. Now we know that's totally untrue. So this needs further investigation. You're quite right, Ben. Yeah. But it has all the earmarks of a very, very big bribery conspiracy that went on for 30 years. And we do know that the family got an excess of $30 million while he was vice president from Iraq, Ukraine, Russia, China, Kazakhstan, and Romania.
So Mayor Giuliani, Biden has said that he's released all of his tax records, that obviously if the IRS thought that there was anything to investigate, then they would have investigated. Is there the basis for a separate investigation, given the fact that he has made public, for example, his tax records, and it doesn't show any infusion of foreign capital?
Well, of course, he would be the dumbest bribe taker in the history of the world if it was on his tax returns. I think I prosecuted about 40 bribery and corruption cases. I can't remember one that was easy enough to prosecute because the guy put down, you know, a $3.5 million bribe from the mayor of Moscow. Bribe takers do not report their bribe. What instead, you've got to go beyond that. You've got to subpoena the records of the homes. How many did Hunter pay for? I do know that Hunter paid for the education of his half-sister. Okay, that's one half-sister. Did he pay for all their education? Indicating he was holding Joe's money. I also know from the text that there was a gentleman named Eric who kind of controlled Hunter's money and told him how much he should have and how much he should turn over to things. So they weren't letting Hunter keep this money himself. Joe kind of appointed a, I don't know if you call him a guardian or a controller. And you can hear many, many complaints from Hunter on the tape that Eric isn't giving him enough money. And then you can hear some complaints that Joe isn't getting enough money. So that money coming in from Iraq, Ukraine, Russia, China, Kazakhstan, I mean, could easily be traced. But the FBI and the Treasury Department have never had the energy to do it because it's a Biden, and they protect Democrats against investigation and have been doing it since Bill Clinton.
So Mayor Giuliani, we did get a report yesterday from James Rosen that the FBI has been looking into Hunter Biden as late as 2019. Do you know at all or have any information about that investigation, why that has not been publicized until the week before the election? You know, if they're looking into Hunter Biden personally, or is it just they're looking into his business partners or anything like that?
Well, Ben, I'm outraged by that because I was defending President Trump at the time, and they didn't have to make it public, but they sure had an obligation to turn it over to me and Jay Sekulow because it defends him. It shows that the president had every reason to ask the president of the Ukraine to investigate what appears to be a bribery scheme right on the text messages and emails. I could pick out 20 of them that at least create, they need to be investigated, so they create clear evidence of a bribery scheme. Second, the FBI withheld for 4 years the Brennan letter to Obama that completely exculpates the president. It says that Hillary Clinton's people are developing a Russian collusion plot to take attention away from the use of her computer. I never got that. The president went through impeachment. That one letter would have stopped all impeachment. And if this had happened in a criminal trial, those FBI agents would go to jail. And this is outrageous that they would withhold it.
So, Mayor Giuliani, there have obviously been a lot of people who are throwing around questions at you about the time that you were spending in Ukraine trying to gather information about Hunter's activities over at Burisma. And it does seem coincidental that this laptop just arises in Delaware. Maybe you could speak to the accusations that somehow this process was laundered.
Well, let me begin by the fact that there are a bunch of consummate liars and they're propagandists. And, of course, 80% of the media buys it without ever checking. You could have checked my passport to see I haven't been in the Ukraine in 5 years. So that would have ended that part of the story. You also could have checked the provenance of this situation. Well, I'm sorry. I was in Ukraine once after the investigation was over, which I announced publicly. But when I was developing this information, I was not in the Ukraine. I went there for 2 days to interview Mr. Shokin and Mr. and Mr. Telashenko. But when I was developing this information, I was not in the Ukraine. I had already submitted my report to the State Department. And second, if you examine this hard drive, this has nothing to do with Russia. The hard drive comes from a man in Delaware who's willing to testify that it was given to him by Hunter Biden. The hard drive, if examined even cursorily, is self-verified, meaning you can tell it's Hunter's hard drive. There are messages, emails that check to other messages, emails. We investigate professionally, not stupidly. We checked out four or five of the emails with people who were willing to cooperate. We also have his handwriting as a receipt for it. Then we have 29,460 photographs that are of him, and photographs that I can only describe as beyond disgusting, and photographs that are easy extortion bait for the Chinese who have to have them. And I'm sure they have worse photographs than I have, if it's possible. We have a statement in here by Hunter Biden that he constitutes a danger to children. And we have pictures in the hard drive that would sustain that. And the FBI doing nothing to protect those children. So I don't know how much more I have. The biggest problem I have is they make accusations, but they never look at the evidence. Like, don't bother me with the facts. You're wrong.
So,
it's Russian. Now let's not look at it.
So Mayor Giuliani, let's talk about the supposed pro quo here. So if the quid is money passing to Hunter Biden, and then again, we still have to connect the dot that any money actually passed to Joe, and this is why you're calling for an investigation into the houses and his bank records and all of that. One of the questions is, what exactly was the pro quo? So one obvious pro quo is that Hunter was basically ferrying people to the White House to meet with Joe Biden. This is very clear. He was doing this with members of companies in China with whom he was doing business. All that is well documented. One of the sort of big issues that came up during impeachment and also has come up now is the issue of Viktor Shokin and Biden saying that he got Viktor Shokin, the chief prosecutor in Ukraine, fired. The suggestion by you and others appears to be that Shokin was about to investigate Burisma, or that he was in the process of investigating Burisma, and that Biden got him fired on behalf of Hunter. The response to that, which seems to be fairly well substantiated, is that Shokin was wanted out by a bunch of people, including the entire EU. And there's pretty substantial controversy as to whether he was even investigating Burisma at the time, considering that he closed an investigation into Burisma. So what's the full story there?
Oh, my goodness, Ben. The full story is totally opposite, and it's the power of the propaganda media. First of all, that's totally discredited by the fact that on February 1st, 2016, Shokin raided the Burisma offices and closed them down. So how could he have not been investigating? And by the way, that sparked five telephone conversations of 30 minutes each between Biden and Poroshenko. And actually, Joe's role was broader than protecting just Hunter Biden. The real reason he got the big money, $14 million, is he fixed the case for Mykola Zloshevsky, who owned the company. Mykola Zloshevsky was the owner of Burisma. He was exiled from Ukraine because he was a pro-Russian Ukrainian. And he wanted to get back, and he was afraid that his company would be seized. So he made a deal to hire a company that had one son of the point man for Ukraine, the vice president, who had all the power to deliver money to a bankrupt Ukraine. And number two, a stepson of the Secretary of State. And he paid them $2 million a year at first. And Joe Biden's son never showed up for work in Ukraine, meaning it was a no-show job. So now you have to ask yourself, what was he paying for? And there are three witnesses in Ukraine, you can choose to believe them or not, who will testify, having been part of the deal, that the deal was that Joe would be available to fix the case if they came after Burisma. Well, within 1 month of raiding the Burisma office, Shokin was gone. Now, as to whether he was a crooked prosecutor or not, there were not a group of EU governments that did that. It was a group of not-for-profits controlled by George Soros. One of the people under investigation by Shokin was George Soros' company, Antac. And other part of the deal was to dismiss the case against George Soros' company, Antac, which has now been dismissed and just recently revived and two of Soros's conspirators have been arrested involved in a $200 million bribe. So it's a much more complicated situation. But the propagandists went out because they control the press. There was an investigation. Shokin was not fired because he was, my goodness, if they fired Shokin for being a dishonest prosecutor, there would be no prosecutors in Ukraine. That's a ridiculously stupid thing to say. And if anybody had the time to look at the complaints, they'd find there were four complaints that all came from not-for-profits, not governments, NGOs, in governments that were influenced a lot by Soros, and each one of those not-for-profits are virulently anti-American not-for-profits. They're Soros-type NGOs.
Okay, so Mayor Giuliani, in the end, you know, the media obviously, you know, having their own perspective on the on these issues, and the Washington Post has suggested, for example, that that claim about Slavchevsky and that the raid was not a raid, all of this being under controversy. How much impact do you think that this is going to have on the election, given the fact that there has been, regardless of what you think about the Shokin in Ukraine part, a blackout by the media on the story?
I don't know, Ben. I really don't know. I mean, they've done a very good job of lying and covering. Like, for example, there was no raid. I've got all the documents showing what they seized from that raid. I even have the letters complaining. And of course, nobody's released the conversations between Biden and Poroshenko, which would tell us exactly how upset Biden was. And did he, in fact, link the dismissal of the case to his son and to Slavchevsky? I don't know why they're not released, but the State Department has done everything to protect Biden because the State Department was involved in colluding against Trump during the election. The ambassador who painted herself as a saint illegally did 2 weeks of trying to tape my phone calls, not only mine, Don Jr., Sean Hannity, John Solomon, Eric Trump, all her enemies. But we got really bad people here who are protected by a press that has become maniacal on the idea that any means is justified to get rid of the big bad Donald Trump.
So, Mayor Giuliani, final question for you. One of the accusations that's been thrown at you is that some of the sources that you've been using in Ukraine are linked to Russian intelligence. Can you confirm that those sources are not linked to Russian intelligence, some of the people who you've been talking to over there?
Well, you know, I've been investigating for 50 years, Ben, and sometimes my sources are linked to organized crime. Sometimes they're linked to Russian intelligence, sometimes to Chinese intelligence. Doesn't mean they're not telling the truth. How do you think we make criminal cases? We don't go talk to ministers, rabbis, priests. We make criminal cases because people like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden deal with the top member of Chinese intelligence, who, by the way, was a murderer, an organized criminal, and is now living at the bottom of the Yangtze River. But does that mean he wasn't telling the truth? The gentleman they're talking about, I have no idea if it's true or a smear campaign, which is a smear campaign that is done very often by the internationalists, led by Soros, against anybody who opposes their policies. It's almost like calling an American a racist. If you disagree with them, they're a Russian agent. Now, it could be true. It could be not true. Here's the important part. He gave me no piece of material information that relates to anything I just said to you. He gave me a totally separate case of $5 billion in foreign aid that went unaccounted for during the Obama administration, actually $3 billion, that was covered up by the American embassy, and that they're now investigating and they're starting to arrest people. Now, I don't know if that's valid, invalid. Sounds to me like it's valid. I can't tell you whether he's a Russian agent or not. He may be a Russian agent who's telling the truth.
Well, Mayor Giuliani, appreciate the time, and it's always interesting and important to get your take. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking about election 2020. We are 4 days away. First, let's talk about the fact that things are in chaos. I mean, absolute chaos. People are afraid there are going to be riots in the streets, and obviously we've had natural disasters. Well, wouldn't now be a good time to make sure that you actually have the resources at home to stay at home? If you need to stay at home, this means that you need a Harvest Right home freeze dryer. Harvest Right's freeze dryer lets you preserve your favorite foods in the comfort and convenience of your own home. With this affordable home appliance, you can easily create your own emergency food supply. Plus, you can freeze dry camping meals, pet food, healthy snacks, and so much more. It's a healthier, more cost-effective solution for you and your family. Enjoy the freedom, flexibility, peace of mind that comes with owning your very own home freeze dryer today. Learn more at HarvestRight.com. Again, that is HarvestRight.com. Go check them out right now, HarvestRight.com. Instead of buying those meals ready to eat or something, instead of that, why not just freeze some of your favorite food at home and then it's ready to go anytime something forces you to stay home for a prolonged period of time. You'll feel more secure and the food will be better. Go check them out at HarvestRight.com. Again, that is HarvestRight.com. Right, Harvest Right home freeze dryer, a fantastic and important product in today's day and age. HarvestRight.com. Go check them out right now. Already coming up, we'll bring you the latest on the polls as we head into the final weekend before the presidential election. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So here's where the polls are. We're now 4 days out from Election Day. In the Real Clear Politics national average, Joe Biden retains a very, very large lead, although the Hill-Harris poll has him only up 4 points. Okay, so some of the late-breaking polls are much narrower. Rasmussen has Biden up 3. IBDTIPP has Biden up 7. The Hill-Harris has him up 4. Those are not the kind of numbers that should lead to comfortable sleep for Joe Biden. In the swing states, things are even closer than in the national race by really a lot. Right now, Biden is up just 3.6% in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania may, in fact, be the state this comes down to. If Trump holds all of the other states, that he held last time, except for Wisconsin and Michigan. He still needs to win Pennsylvania in order to win the presidency. The last four polls are tie, Trump plus two, Biden plus seven, Biden plus five in Pennsylvania. Now, Trump does need to sweep all the rest, right? He needs to sweep Georgia, where it's margin of error, Florida, where it's margin of error, North Carolina, Arizona, where it's margin of error. There's some disquiet in Minnesota. Biden is actually campaigning in Minnesota, which is not a good sign for Joe Biden. In fact, the Real Clear Politics polling average is putting Biden at just 3 to 5 points up in Minnesota. So a last-minute push from Trump could make some difference. A lot of people are voting early, but there still will be massive turnout on Election Day. I've never seen a race with this much uncertainty in the last week of the election. In 2012, there was a lot of uncertainty. There was some feeling among Republicans Romney was going to win. But the level of uncertainty here is extremely high. We should remember that. It's why you should get out and vote if you have not yet done so already as a Republican in a swing state. All right, coming up, we'll get to the New York Times and their all-court press against Donald Trump. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 7 with the Sue McClain News Hour. I'll have your up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by free fire radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
9970.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you recognize a 13-year-old boy who gets into fights at school?
Not because he's a boy, but because he's hungry?
Or a 2-year-old girl who cries all night?
Not because she's sick, but because she went to bed without enough to eat.
Or maybe a 9-year-old boy who hopes a friend invites him to a sleepover.
Not for fun, just so we can have dinner.
Or a 15-year-old girl who goes for walks over lunch,
so her friends won't know she doesn't have anything to eat.
I am the 1 in 7 American children who struggle with hunger. Kids you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am Child Hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it's hero time. Hero time in the media. All of our commentators, they're having their final say on the election. And universally, they hate Trump. I mean, universally. The New York Times, it's just astonishing how self-absorbed the New York Times is. They have a piece titled, What Have We Lost? It's a compendium. All 15 of our opinion columnists explain what the past 4 years have cost America and what's at stake in this election. Wait, so you mean every single one of your 15 columnists is not voting for Trump? All of them? This is the paper of record. It's got the same voting record as the people over at Slate. They don't have a single person who is voting for Trump or presumably has ever considered voting for Trump. The rightmost people in this compendium are Ross Douthat, whose great lament is that Donald Trump did not consolidate the populist base, and Brett Stevens, who says that Donald Trump has betrayed conservatism in every possible way. And then the rest of these pieces are just abject cries of rage. You have Nicholas Kristof from the New York Times writing that Trump has destroyed persuasion. He has exploited and betrayed my friends. Nicholas Kristof writes, many of my oldest friends are voting for President Trump on Tuesday. They're supporting Trump despite the arguments my pundit colleagues and I have been making, or perhaps because of them. My pro-Trump friends and readers complain that the mainstream media are biased against Trump, and thus they tune us out for being unfair and piling on. The conundrum for those of us trying to change minds is that the more urgently we shout, the less we're heard. We're not stupid, gullible sheep, one reader Frank J. complained. Be fair and balanced in your reporting, it would have more power. My childhood friend, Mary Mayer, likewise supported Trump and is turned off by coverage she regards as hostile. I've never known a president who has gone through so much scrutiny overlooking all the positives he has done, she told me. I understand why people like Mary voted for Trump. The loss of well-paying jobs, devastated places like my hometown, Yamhill, Oregon. Mary spent 7 years homeless, lost 4 relatives to suicide. One herself once put a gun to her head before she pulled herself together with the help of a local church. Trump talked about bringing jobs back and helping ordinary workers, so she voted for the first time in her life for Trump. The challenge for opponents of Trump like myself is that our denunciations of the president sometimes backfire and help him, just as polls suggest that impeachment increased support for him. So in my last column before Election Day, let me explain why I'm so worked up about this election. It's partly because I believe Trump is a charlatan who preys on my friends who trust him. Okay, so now he has deprived his friends of agency. It can't be that people see through Trump's sillinesses and his bloviation and his obvious con artist routine. It's not that. It's that they're all idiots and Trump has taken them in. He says, I'm passionate because I feel he has exploited my friends and betrayed them with his policies. Ah, you see, his friends are stupid. They're stupid to have voted for Trump. Kristof says, how can a president be called pro-life when he has presided over the deaths of more than 225,000 Americans? This is the laziest thinking ever. Pro-life means he's anti-abortion. Also, anytime you wish to propose a proposal that would have saved 220,000 lives, I'm willing to hear it. Any single time. Anytime. Nothing? Bueller? Nothing? Okay. I'm a great believer in community, in the idea that what makes countries strong is social capital. Trump has taken the social fabric and acted as the great unraveler. Okay, now this just ignores the fact that the Obama era existed, that Trump was not created out of a vacuum. But again, this is the New York Times, right? So the New York Times has this entire series. Frank Bruni writes about how his innocence has been lost. How will I ever look at America the same way again? Frank Bruni cries. I've always assumed that those of us who felt certain of Hillary Clinton's victory in 2016 were putting too much trust in the polls. I was putting too much trust in Americans. We had episodes of ugliness, but this? No way. We were better than Trump, except it turned out we weren't. Never mind that Russians gave him a boost or that he lost a popular vote. Some 46% of the Americans who cast ballots for president in 2016 picked him. And as he moved into the White House and proceeded to soil it, most of those Americans stood by him solidly enough that Republicans in Congress didn't dare to cross him. It was a populace I didn't recognize, or at least didn't want to. What has Trump's president taken away from me? I'm reasonably sure many Americans feel the same loss I do. I'm struggling to assign just one word to it. Innocence, optimism, faith. Okay, I'm sorry if you're weeping, Frank Bruni. I'm sorry that you, at some point you might want to be an adult and recognize that some people disagree with you on policy, and your high moral dudgeon, which is reserved only for people who voted for Trump, is wasted. Michelle Goldberg. She says that her imagination has been lost under Trump. Imagination. Ah. David Brooks says that faith has been lost under Trump. Not under Barack Obama, who legitimately spent pretty much every waking day of his administration trying to crack down on churches. Now, Trump smashed the decency floor. Until 4 years ago, says David Brooks, there was what you might call a floor of decency. This was the basic minimum standard of behavior to be an accepted member of society. Even when people did bad things, they at least tried to pretend they were good, or they operated according to the basic values of society. Oh, yeah, no, I remember that. I remember the riots in Ferguson and the riots in Baltimore and the riots in Milwaukee and how Barack Obama tutted those. I remember the shooting of police officers in Dallas. I remember that. I remember Barack Obama in 2009 threatening corporations that he stood between them and the pitchforks. I remember Americans being castigated as bitter clingers. I remember the floor. Yeah, that was a real low floor, as it turned out. The sad thing from the vantage point of 2020 is that the line of Donald Trump no longer seems outrageous, but it seemed outrageous then. Well, it was outrageous. What is he referring to? He says it was outrageous when Donald Trump attacked Rand Paul's looks. It was outrageous. It was ridiculous. It remains ridiculous. Most people think it's ridiculous. Here is the problem. People decided that ridiculousness came secondary to the undermining of traditional American philosophy that has been going on apace since at least 2008. Jennifer Signore says that generosity has been undermined. All of this is the New York Times, right? Again, that hotbed of wonderful diversity of thought. The president has made selfishness our national credo, says Jennifer Signore. Yeah, no, selfishness is a characteristic only of President Trump. Before that, no one was selfish. So Obama phone lady didn't exist. Remember that in 2008, the lady who said that she was going to get her phone thanks to Barack Obama? Remember that? I know, we're not supposed to talk about that. Because to even mention the fact that there are a lot of people who vote for handouts is to say the unsayable. But apparently, Trump has ruined everything. The entire premise of the New York Times here, of course, is that the world did not exist before Trump. It literally did not exist. It was formless and void. And then Trump came, and he said, "Let there be Trump." And the entire universe sprang into being. Brett Stevens says that principled conservatism is over. It's over. He says that the entire basis of conservatism is done. He says the outpouring of resentment is what has come to define the conservative movement in the age of Trump. Conservatives used to admire Edmund Burke. Not anymore, insofar as Burke stood for the importance of manners and morals to the health of the state. Well, Edmund Burke wasn't just about manners and morals. Edmund Burke was also about preventing the revolution. You may recall his most famous book was about the evils of the revolution in France. One of the reasons people are voting for Trump this time around, even many of us who didn't vote for Trump in 2016, is because the revolution has come to pass, and there are not many bulwarks against it, and Joe Biden surely is not one of them. It seems that maybe Edmund Burke might have some thoughts on the woke revolution that is happening in our politics. Conservatives used to admire Milton Friedman, not anymore, says Brett Stevens. Well, weird, because I admire Milton Friedman, and I've never stopped admiring Milton Friedman. Conservatives used to admire Scoop Jackson. No, I still admire Scoop Jackson. Conservatives used to admire Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. When did we stop doing that? In place of all this, what today's debased conservatism now boils down to is anti-liberalism. Sometimes this resembles old-fashioned conservatism, says Brett Stevens, particularly when it comes to economic regulation in the judiciary. At other times, it has entailed undisguised reversals of past conservative positions, such as Trump's appeasement of North Korea or his derision of the 1994 crime bill. Or alternatively, the president does a lot of things that members of the Republican Party follow, regardless of the heresy. I am old enough to remember when George W. Bush was president, and I'm old enough to remember when he pushed No Child Left Behind, and people like Brett Stevens, I believe, got behind it, if I'm not mistaken. George W. Bush pushed steel tariffs. Many Republicans got behind that. That violated the precepts of Milton Friedman. And anti-left is one element of conservatism. It is not the whole thing. It's one of the reasons why I have never been the biggest fan of Donald Trump as a political figure. Because, again, I think he is anti-left. I do not think that in his heart he is conservative. He has done many conservative things as a manifestation of anti-leftism. But here's the bottom line. Trump is going up against the entire media, the entirety of the media. And when you hear people in the media suggest that there is any sort of ideological diversity in the media, it is just not true. Every single one of the 15 columnists for the New York Times has written about the evils of Donald Trump. Not one of them will vote for Donald Trump. That says something. It used to be that during the Bush era, at least the New York Times had a couple of people who voted for George W. Bush. It is now unthinkable to work for the New York Times and have voted for Donald Trump. One time I was on with Brian Stelter on CNN. This is a couple of years ago. And he was talking about, oh, you and your right-wing outlets, you know, why don't you try to work at CNN? I said, Brian, can you name anybody at CNN who'd ever offer me a job? And of course, the answer is no. CNN is not hiring anybody who's ever voted for Trump. There's nobody on air at CNN who's voted for Trump or has considered voting for Trump. There's nobody at MSNBC who is. No one at ABC, NBC, or CBS who is. And in fact, if you are somebody at one of those networks who did consider voting for Trump or would consider voting for Trump, let's say you're Megyn Kelly, you're immediately thrown out for a bullcrap reason made up on the spot. What we are watching in this election is not just a referendum on Trump. It's a referendum on the power of the media. If Trump loses, some of that is due to Trump's own heresies and Trump's own sillinesses and his inability to run a cohesive campaign and all of that. But some of that is surely the media, a media that has made it its sole mission in life to kick Trump out of office. And not just Trump, the entire Republican Party. Because make no mistake, after Trump is gone, if Trump loses, you think they're just going to let up? You think they're going to be, oh, well, Trump, you know, he was a unique threat to the Republic. Now we can go back to normal conversation. Or will it turn into every Republican is Trump? Because Trump is every Republican. See, that's the dirty secret. It's not that they're going to smear Republicans with the stink of Trump or something like that. It's that Trump was fine with these people, all of it, until Trump ran as a Republican. At that very moment, he became the same as Mitt Romney or George W. Bush, except more so. I was asked yesterday on the program during one of the caller segments, what will happen in 2024 with a Republican? Will the media recognize that Nikki Haley is not Trump, or that Ron DeSantis is not Trump, or that any other Republican, Josh Hawley is not, that any other Republican nominee is not Trump? And I said, absolutely not. What they will do instead is say they are worse than Trump. They will say, no matter what, because recognize, their hatred for Trump is not hatred for Trump. Their hatred for Trump is hatred for you. They may pick on his most obvious flaws, the most obvious problems, the problems that I share, problems with his vulgarity and stupid things he says on Twitter. They may pick on those things, but what they really are angry at is the fact that Donald Trump is a Republican and that Donald Trump opposes the march of the left. That's what they really hate about him. And that'll be perfectly obvious 5 minutes from now if Trump loses. Because then the focus of ire will simply shift. If Nikki Haley runs in 2024, it'll be, well, you know, Nikki Haley, she's not as vulgar as Trump, but that's what makes her so much more dangerous. Trump said the quiet part out loud, but Nikki Haley says the quiet part quietly. She's a racist. Trump was a racist too, but at least Trump was blatant about it so we could identify it. Nikki Haley is subtle. Subtle. It'll be, well, Donald Trump, he wasn't a warmonger. Nikki Haley's a warmonger. It'll be, well, Donald Trump didn't want to crush entitlements. Nikki Haley wants to restructure entitlements. That's really bad. They recognize that the same folks at the New York Times who are saying that they're not going to vote for Donald Trump and they hate Donald Trump and his unique threat to the Republic. How many of those people are going to vote for Nikki Haley? So I would say maybe Bret Stephens and Ross Douthat would vote for Nikki Haley. That's it. Those are the only ones. And guess what? They ain't going to be at the New York Times in 4 years. Promise. Guaranteed. The chances that either Ross Douthat or that Bret Stephens are writing for the New York Times in 4 years is precisely zero, specifically because the new shift of focus, the new hatred, will be directed not against the Trumpian wing of the Republican Party, but against all Republicans at all times. The target is ever shifting. It is ever moving. And you can see this happening, right? Tom Nichols, a self-described expert. He's one of the never-Trumpers who decided that Trump was the fons of all evil, and not just Trump, the entire Republican Party. He's been writing for years that the way to fight Trump is by kicking normal Republicans out of office. So it's not just that Trump should be thrown out because Trump is bad. It's that the entire Republican Party should lose power. We should put Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in charge of the government in order to punish Trump. I think that's crap. I think that they just are fine with Democrats in charge of government. That's not a way to punish the Republican Party for Trump. And it's certainly not a way to save the country. If you don't like Trump, you're prerogative. But when Tom Nichols calls himself a hero, and he does, he has a piece today titled My Never Trump Elegy. Courage exercised only when the coast is clear is not courage. It is opportunism. His heroism knows no bounds. Here he is writing for The Atlantic, an outlet that is widely regarded as prestigious, even though it really is overrated. Here he is appearing in his khakis on MSNBC. I mean, it's like Normandy. It's Normandy with coffee from the MSNBC green room. Really stunning stuff. So Tom Nichols has a piece today all about his own bravery. He says, shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union, the author John le Carré, most famous creation, the fictional British spy George Smiley, reflected on a career spent fighting a now vanquished enemy. There are some people, Smiley said, at a dinner among young recruits to the Secret Service who, when their past is threatened, get frightened of losing everything they thought they had, and perhaps everything they thought they were as well. Now, I don't feel that one bit. The purpose of my life was to end the time I lived in. With a bit more pensiveness, Smiley adds, or perhaps our troubles are just beginning. I think of this passage often. He says, when my friends ask what the Never Trumpers will do now, I say with all honesty, I'm not sure. What I do know is we will always be able to say that when Trump and his thugs took over the Republican Party and then the elected branches of the U.S. government, we did not cut and run. We stood and fought. Oh, the self-described heroism. So I think it's going to outlast Trump. Yes, I do, because I don't think this is about Trump. I think the most accurate thing.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Coming up, we'll do a little bit of uplift before the weekend. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 12-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws cost that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, it is the Friday before the election, and as I do every Friday, I like to do a little bit of Bible talk because there's something inspirational going into the weekend. I mean, a lot of people are nervous. They have a right to be nervous. There's a lot to be worried about. But I think that it's important to recognize that we have a civilization that is built on certain fundamental ideals. The Bible lies at the center of that civilization. And so I am going to do what I do every week at this time, which is we're going to go through a little bit of the weekly parsha. That is the portion of the Torah that the Jews read every week. This week's portion of the Torah comes from Genesis chapter 12. Right? It is the Torah reading for the parsha of Lech Lecha. So we have three that we have gone through. We did Genesis, and we talked about Cain and Abel, and then we did Noah last week, and we talked about whether Noah was a good man in his generation and what that meant. This week, we're talking about Abraham. We've moved forward in time. And this section of the Bible talks about the beginning of Abraham in the Bible. You never learn about Abraham's childhood. One of the wonderful things about the Bible is that the Bible only gives you the facts about important personages it thinks are important. Very few of the biblical personages are ever described as children. You never get their sort of backstory. You just sort of arrive fully formed as adults. And I think there's a reason for that. And that is that while the Bible acknowledges in certain cases that your childhood experiences shape how you live, Joseph being obviously the most important example in the book of Genesis, the Bible tends to treat adults as full-fledged human beings capable of choice. And what we're about to talk about is an important choice that every adult has to make, and a choice that I think more and more people in the West are simply giving up on. And that is the choice to live with adventure. So the beginning of this particular chapter in Genesis starts, "The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your land and from your birthplace and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will aggrandize your name, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you." And Abraham went, as the Lord had spoken to him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Okay, so he's not a young man, right? This is not a 20-year-old man picking up and leaving. This is a guy in retirement, right? This is the guy who's golfing. By the time you are 75, you are no longer picking up and moving for your next adventure. And God doesn't really tell Abraham even where to go. He just says, you're going to go a place, I'm going to show you the place, and that's it. Pick up and go. And Abraham does. Right? And it is the juxtaposition of the verbiage here that's really important. Because God isn't just asking Abraham to leave where he lives. He's asking him to forge forth an adventure. Right? In the Hebrew, you're supposed to leave me'artzecha, from your land, u'mimoladecha, and from the place that you were born, u'mibeit avicha, and from the house of your father. Right? It gets more and more kind of personal. You're supposed to leave the area where you live. Okay, so I'm moving where I live. Is that that big a deal? Right? I might be an itinerant shepherd. Okay, but not just that. From your birthplace, right? You're supposed to leave the culture in which you were born, and you're supposed to go somewhere different. You're supposed to build something new. And from your father's house, you're supposed to question the values of your father, and you're supposed to do something new. And you're supposed to follow God in the pursuit of doing that. Well, what this means, and Abraham is a great example of this, is that you are, in fact, supposed to follow a vision of something better, but that vision is supposed to be rooted in godly values. It is not that Abraham is supposed to go define for himself the meaning of life in the universe. It's nothing like that. Right? God has to appear to him. Before he abandons the values of his father, God has to appear to him and spell out a different set of values, a set of values that Abraham has an ongoing conversation with God about, right? Abraham actually debates with God about the morality of God himself, right? At Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham does this. He specifically has a conversation with God, trying to save a city that God has deemed evil already. But it is Abraham's willingness to pick up and go that is really important. So there's a statistic that I think is maybe everything about where we are in the country right now. We have moved from being a country of people who are entrepreneurial and adventurous to people who feel entitled to a lot of things. You see this in our politics. Politicians who promise you things are the ones who do really well. Politicians who say you're entitled to things, those are the ones who seem to do really well these days. And you can see it reflected in the statistics about how many people are moving. Fewer Americans are moving right now than have at virtually any time in the past. Hey, as of 2019, the Census Bureau released new data. It showed that fewer than 10% of Americans moved. That is the lowest percentage since the census started collecting that information in the 1940s. Okay, they're moving much, much less. And the reason they're moving much, much less is because they've been promised by their politicians and by the wise people that they have a right to stay where they are without having to make difficult life decisions about how to better their lives, without following the star, without following the call. That's a bad thing. America was built on the backs of people who were willing, sometimes in some cases forced, to leave where they were and go to someplace new and build something. Those are the heroes. So, like Abraham, we should all follow the call. We should get up. We should go forth from our land, from our birthplace, from our father's house, to a land of morality and decency that we have already been shown. Because thank God, we actually don't have to leave behind the values of the past in order to forge forth. We have to cling to those values. Remember, Abraham was existing in a time before the Bible, in a time before the advent of the Age of Reason. We are not. And that means that we should look both to the past and to the future with one foot in each, and an adventurous spirit will move forward as a country. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. 4 days before the polls open, President Trump expressing confidence about a handful of must-win states. White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
As he left the White House for another day of campaigning, the president sounded upbeat about his prospects in several battlegrounds.
Florida's looking really great. Ohio is looking great. North Carolina is looking fantastic, actually. We think Pennsylvania's looking fantastic.
He also said Texas is looking very strong for his campaign. And Mr. Trump predicted that he would flip Minnesota, which hasn't voted for a Republican president since 1972. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Major reversal from Walmart. The retailer says it is returning ammo and guns to its store. Thursday, the retailer said it had removed the displays due to civil unrest in some areas, but Friday, officials say the items had been restored because the unrest has remained isolated. Also at townhall.com, a new arrest following the France church attack.
A second suspect is in custody today after the gruesome attack on a church in the French city of Nice, which killed three people. The main attacker was shot and wounded by police after the attack, and he is in critical condition in the hospital. And another suspect was arrested overnight who was in contact with the main attacker the night before.
Correspondent Angela Charlton, the 21-year-old Tunisian behind that attack, had small-time run-ins as a teenager, but nothing that had alerted Tunisian authorities. Controversial measure on the ballot in Oregon. It would be the first in the United States. Possession of small amounts of heroin, cocaine, LSD, and other hard drugs would be decriminalized in that state. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
You know what stinks? Overpaying for things, and that includes your cell phone bill. That's why every day people are switching to PureTalk USA. You get the exact same coverage as the larger carriers, but at half the cost, with no contract and no excessive fees. Get unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data all for just $20 a month. The average person saves $400 a year. Go to PureTalkUSA.com, enter the promo code HALFOFF, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's PureTalkUSA.com, promo code HALFOFF. PureTalk USA, simply smarter wireless.
The president's executive order on diversity training is facing a lawsuit.
Three civil rights groups have filed a federal lawsuit challenging President Donald Trump's executive order that prohibits federal agencies, contractors, and grant recipients from offering certain diversity training. The complaint was filed in federal court in Washington, D.C. by the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the National Urban League, and the National Fair Housing Alliance. The lawsuit argues Trump's order violates free speech rights and hinders efforts to address systemic racism race and sex discrimination. Trump signed the executive order last month. In a statement, the Labor Department says it is confident it will prevail in the lawsuit. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina announcing an agreement to advance offshore wind development. Partnership would also aim to reduce project costs through supply chain development and share information and best practices. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Consumer spending continues to rise, but the pace is slowing somewhat. Here's correspondent Ben Thomas with that story.
The Commerce Department report shows U.S. consumers increased their spending by 1.4% in September. The modest gain is better than expected and marks the fifth straight monthly increase, but it's far less than the big increases of late spring, and the slowing gains add to concerns that Americans remain cautious as the coronavirus pandemic has a resurgence across the country. The report also shows income, the fuel for spending, rose 0.9% in September, a moderate gain that follows a 2.5% drop in August. Consumer spending is the primary driver of the U.S. economy. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Sharp drops in Apple, Facebook, and several other tech giants Friday, ending a rough week on Wall Street when all was said and done. Major indexes all down sharply. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager, NMLS, number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS, 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. Reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to Rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Bad boys.
And I did. And back in those days, you see how things have changed? One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a baby cap.
Well, that's it. I was hoping for more. We just got to the pomade part. Then he said, hey, Esther Williams, he said to Corn Pop, he said, Esther Williams. So, yeah. He was going to call him Mary Pickford, but then he decided to update it and make it more current.
And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off.
He's going to
come up.
Came
off,
racist.
And he said, I'll meet you outside.
I wonder if he was wearing a pointed white hat at the time. That's Lunch Bucket Joe. He'd like to be your next president. I think he wants to go to the moon, too. Doesn't he want to go to the moon? He's talking about going to the moon. And he thinks that President Trump is very heavily engaged in mathematics. Math, a lot of math. He's got division, addition, multiplication. All kinds of mathematical equations. I haven't gotten to algebra yet. A little too complicated for Lunch Bucket Joe. Well, happy Friday to you. Another beautiful day in the United States of America. Another great day to be defending the United States of America. And boy, we're up against it, aren't we? What with the Democrats not being on Team America and the media being on Team Democrat. It is really a remarkable thing that we're seeing. And we're 4 days away from Election Day. Today is Friday for Democrats following along. That's, then we got Saturday, then Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday is Election Day. We used to call it Election Day, but the Democrats have kind of blown that up. They want to, if they win, they want to blow up the Senate. They want to blow up the Supreme Court, which is really, and other federal courts, too. So the entire judiciary is on their hit list. And when I say hit list, I mean like Lee Harvey Oswald and John F. Kennedy's head. I mean that kind of hit list. And it is, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I was doing a little research the other day. You know, we've had four presidents assassinated. Three of them were Republicans, including the first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln. The next two presidents assassinated also Republicans. And then John F. Kennedy, of course, who was assassinated by a communist. And now, you know, honestly, the Democrat Party is a lot closer to Lee Harvey Oswald on the political spectrum than they are to John F. Kennedy. And that should be very disconcerting. All kinds of news today about suppressing free speech, suppressing the free press. They're very anti-First Amendment, the Democrat Party is, and Second Amendment. They're anti-First Amendment, but basically most parts of the First Amendment they're dead set against. And the Second Amendment, they're dead set against it entirely. They want to disarm the populace because, you know, they're about to take over, take charge. And there will be no free speech. There is an amazing bill. You know, the Democrats like to look around the world for bad ideas and then try to incorporate them here. We are at 888-630-9625, already off and running. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number here. The lefties in Scotland have, they've got a bill, and it's a new law they're pushing over there. If you say something in your home, at your dinner table, in your car, talking to somebody else just driving along, that later someone else determines to be hate speech, making quotation marks with my fingers, which, of course, is always in the ear of the beholder. And it is that you're going to, there's a jail for you. This is fascism, and it is creep. It's not even creeping anymore. It's galloping. It's the Democrat Party. And if they win, gosh, I don't know if we're going to be able to pass on the Bill of Rights to the next generation. And that is that's a very serious concern, a very serious issue. It is our duty as American citizens to preserve and protect, to defend the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and our rights, the rights that we were blessed to be born with as Americans. It is our duty and our obligation as human beings to make sure that we preserve and protect those rights and pass them along to the next generation. And passing those rights along to the next generation is very much in jeopardy right now with this election. And I don't exaggerate this stuff. I don't occasionally make a joke, but this is very serious stuff. And Joe Biden is not smart enough to know what's going on. He just wants to be president and get his face on a stamp because it's been a lifelong dream. He's been in politics for 47 or 147 years. And he really hasn't gotten anything productive done that he can point to. There was the lynching of Clarence Thomas, I guess probably the highlight of his career, groping people, sexually assaulting Tara Reid. Where is Tara Reid? Anyway, in our fake news media, if you're a Democrat presidential candidate and a former staffer comes forward and says, he sexually assaulted me and here are the dates and I told my friends about it at the time and here are my friends and they're willing to talk to you, the media says, well, screw that. You know, that whole pound me too thing was just another lie to try to lynch Brett Kavanaugh and anybody else. Then they found out it was mostly their own people who were the sexual deviants, and Brett Kavanaugh was innocent, of course, of all the sleazy, slimy smears that they launched against him. You know, they like to pretend everything's a smear because they're so busy smearing good people that every time they get caught at something, it's a big smear. And the Biden campaign, they're still saying, oh, this is just a smear. It's a distraction. There's nothing there. And the media is playing along, like NBC Fake News and the others. Oh, there's no. In fact, there is a poll. Mark Penn, longtime Democrat Party Clinton White House pollster, he's considered to be a genius in the world of polling. He's got a new poll out. Finds that 51% of Americans believe that the Hunter Biden story is, and I'm quoting now, Russian disinformation. End quote. That's the that's because the propaganda machine of the Democrat Party has its tentacles everywhere. And everywhere. It's and so their message prevails even when it's the big lie. And it is the big lie. And the New York Times, they're part of the big lie. The Washington Post, part of the big lie. And it's a tragic thing. It's like, no, you sound like you're weaving a wild conspiracy theory yourself now. Well, no, I would advise that you take a look at the actual reporting in the longest continuously published newspaper in the United States, America, the New York Post. Started by Alexander Hamilton in 1801, number three in terms of distribution in the United States right now, the New York Post. And their fine and excellent reporting on this holds up, and you could, and I would recommend it, subject it to all the scrutiny that you'd like, and you'll find that it holds up. You had the Director of National Intelligence come out and say there is no reason to believe this is Russian disinformation, in spite of the fact that Adam Schiffless, a well-known pathological liar, keeps saying that everything is, you know, like they call everybody a Russian agent, and I've got baseball caps here that nice listeners provided. Say, I'm a Russian asset, red baseball cap like a MAGA hat, but it says I'm a Russian asset, because they go around telling the media that, you know, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat, Hawaii, Army major, combat vet, that she's a Russian asset. And the media says, yeah, she's a Russian asset, glassy-eyed zombie bootlickers that they are. And everything is, it's the Russians, it's the Russians. No, no, there is actually no reason to believe that. Listen to the DNI, the FBI confirmed it. Even the New York Times, although they got a bunch of sleazy fake news on it as well, because they're slime balls, and that's polite, I'm on the radio. And even they had to confess, well, there's nothing to say that this is Russian. Yeah, the Russians are commies, and Putin's a commie, and they've been meddling in the West forever and ever. But now the left is here, and the left is a toxin, and the leftism has been injected into the political bloodstream of the United States of America, and it is the Democrat Party that I'm talking about, of course, and the media on a broader level. And the big lie, the lie is so big, and the cover-up, and now they've convinced more than half of Americans that this story is Russian disinformation. That's how powerful the propaganda is, the propaganda machine of the Democrat Party. I saw Stephen Colbert. It was Stephen Colbert, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, Stephen Colbert was participating in a Kamala Harris. It's Kamala, except when she mispronounces it. Then it's Kamala. And it's Kamala Harris' fundraiser for the left, which is here to take away your rights. The left is coming for your rights. And they had Stephen Colbert participating because their propaganda machine, Saturday Night Live, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Bill Maher, HBO, Showtime, The Circus, Sig Heilman, everywhere you turn. The View, I love this, people. The Chelsea Handler, we didn't get to that Chelsea Handler thing yesterday, but I'd like to get to it today. She's mentally ill and perfectly in the mainstream of the Democrat Party. And gosh, so many amazing stories related to the Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden FBI. Now, my old friend James Rosen, who was with Fox News, very smart man, good reporter, and he's now at Sinclair, where they hire serious people like Cheryl Atkinson and James Rosen, to name but a couple. They hire them to do journalism, and James Rosen has sources because he's a reporter. And he has found that he was targeted by the Obama administration, and his parents were targeted too, because they were like fascists using the FBI to target reporters, and the media just bowed to that because they're not reporters at all. They're bootlickers for the Democrat Party. And that's as polite as I can be. I'm on the radio. And it turns out that Hunter Biden, according to James Rosen's reporting and his sources, is the target of an FBI investigation since last year into money laundering. Now, you'd think that would become a big story, but if you'd think that, you'd be wrong, because the Washington Post would run you over with their car, sort of collectively speaking, if they found that you had the information. You like that movie, The Ghost Rider. If you had the goods on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, the Washington Post would attack you. That's how bad our media has gotten. And that brings us to Glenn Greenwald, who I've spoken about on this radio program many times, a dyed-in-the-wool left-winger, a journalist, and I'm not making quotation marks with my fingers because I've always praised his journalism. He's not a liberal. He's a lefty. And he started a news organization several years ago called The Intercept, where he could go to freely report the truth. Well, it turns out that he and his colleagues hired a bunch of lefties to staff The Intercept. And now the lefties that he hired, it's the Frankenstein's monster again, and the lefties that he hired and that the people that he hired, have censored him, Glenn Greenwald, and won't allow him to publish in the publication that he co-founded, The Intercept. They won't allow him to publish his own reporting on Hunter Biden and the Hunter Biden story. They are quashing that story. And so he felt the need to announce that he's resigning from the organization yesterday and published a long letter announcing his resignation from the organization that he founded because they no longer represent the principles of free and what we used to call liberal journalism. Because they're not for free speech. They are for the left. They are for the left and not some kind of John F. Kennedy Democrat Party, but for the left. These people are leftists. They're not liberals. And so there's a good deal to get into there. Glenn Greenwald was on with Tucker Carlson last night on his excellent program. And I have some audio for you from that interview last night. Very important stuff. It honestly is. Have the Girl Scouts been canceled yet completely? Because I've got to keep track of that. They made mention of the fact that Amy Coney Barrett is on the Supreme Court, so they're being canceled by the left. It's amazing stuff. They're the most illiberal, contemptible, contemptuous gang of miscreants. What an extraordinary bunch of people. By the way, you know, the news media stopped talking about, but Nancy Pelosi has successfully slow-rolled COVID relief for the American people and businesses and families until after the election. It's just not going to happen. May not even happen until after the new year because Nancy Pelosi wants the American people to suffer, and she has enough power to ensure that millions of people will suffer to a greater extent rather than a lesser extent during the Wuhan Red Death. And Pelosi has been successful. We knew she was angling for this at slow rolling anything coming out of the House of Representatives in the way of relief packages for the American people having to do with COVID-19. And now after the election and then there's recess and then we may not see anything until after the new year because they want the American people to suffer and then they want to blame President Trump for it. So that's their plan, and she's been successful, and the media is working hand in glove with her to carry off this corrupt abuse of power that leads to hardship for the American people, and they know it. That this is what is bad for the American people is good for the Democrats. This is very, very often the case. More deaths from the Wuhan, good for the Democrats. More hospitalizations from Wuhan, good for the Democrats. More cases because of testing or whatever, good for the Democrats. Bad economy, good for the Democrats. Higher unemployment, good for the Democrats. 33% GDP growth in the third quarter for this year, that is bad for the Democrats. You see, and that's why it is really not news. The news media is not 30. It is a record in the history of the country for quarterly GDP growth. And the news media is just smothering that, drowning it in the bassinet like their babies. And it is it's really something. Lots of stuff to get to. Also, they had the acting commissioner because the Democrats won't confirm him. Mark Morgan of Customs and Border Protection has been blocked by Twitter. Because he wrote something truthful. These people are fascists. They're not liberals. They're leftists. They're un-American. They're anti-American. They are authoritarian. They are Twitter. They are Facebook. They are Nancy Pelosi. They are the Democrat Party. They are the Washington Post. And we are 4 days away from Election Day. Is everybody buying up supplies? Because depending on where you live, you know, President Trump wins, there's going to be a lot of madness. In fact, a great story I've got for you today about the U.S. Capitol Police speaking confidentially about what's going on in Washington with the police, the mayor, the crazy left, and Election Day.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
This is time that matters, a window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Investors, how about a 10% steady real estate-backed monthly cash flow? Have you thought about the only one true supply-constrained asset? Real estate. Intelligent and savvy investors need to check out NRIA. NRIA is one of the nation's top specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted to 21%. With NRIA, you can obtain steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's
15-year track record, and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today for 10% monthly payouts and bonuses. Every smart investor should consider this. Call now, 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483, or visit NRIA.net. An offer to buy or sell any security is made only by private placement memorandum. Read it first. Find it at NRIA.net.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support. And it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, you instantly get a short list of quality candidates from the resume database. Indeed helps you find candidates with the right skills so you can focus on hiring the person who's a good fit. Claim your $75 credit for your first job post at Indeed.com/smart. Terms and conditions apply.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Buried in today's Dr. Evil post in the B section at the bottom of page 5 with no fanfare, officials urge voters to avoid mailing ballots and use drop boxes instead. Sure, of course. Isn't that what President Trump has been excoriated for saying for months now? With less than a week until Election Day, election officials in Maryland and the District of Columbia or urging voters to put mail-in ballots into drop boxes. Saying that the U.S. Postal Service will have delays, and it may be too late to return them by mail. Delivery times continue to be considerably longer than normal, Maryland Elections Administrator Linda Lamone said in a statement that encouraged voters to drop off ballots at any authorized drop box. This will allow them to be confident their vote will be received and counted in a timely fashion. Now, why is that on the bottom of page 5 in the B section? Why isn't that kind of a big deal? This is Friday. The election is Tuesday. Maybe you want to get the word out, but then again, maybe not. Because, after all, it's the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that President Trump saying, well, what do you get us out? You know, we'll just count for 9 days after. We'll just count for 14 days after. The Democrats are blowing up our democracy, and they know that they're blowing up our democracy. It's their whole thing. It's their whole, that's their plan. They're out to get us, I think. That sounds paranoid, but it's not. All you have to do is read the papers and listen to what they tell you. When they tell you who they are, you should believe them the first time. I think something like that. Isn't that right? Listen, all kinds of amazing news in the last 24 hours. Stay right there.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Shining Care reminds you, September is Healthy Aging Month, an annual health observance designed to focus national attention on the positive aspects of growing older. It provides inspiration and practical ideas for adults ages 45 plus to improve their physical, mental, social, and financial well-being. With the pandemic, we've extended Healthy Aging Month to include October with amazing events you won't want to miss. Get going on positive measures that can impact the areas of physical, social, financial, and mental wellness. Join us for free information, prizes, and fun during
October, including the drive-through event October 22nd from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Cornerstone Community Bank on Hartnell. Swing by and get your free goodie bag full of useful info, resources, and gifts. The Shining Care Age Well Healthy Aging drive-through event in collaboration with Cornerstone Community Bank, Wind River Resort and Casino, PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, and HICAP. Join in the fun and get informed for physical and mental wellness. Make plans to get your free goodie bag on Thursday, October 22nd, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Cornerstone Community Bank.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gordon Christensen. When I became a dentist, I learned how quickly poor oral health can lead to other serious health problems. And for people without access to care, these problems can spiral very quickly. I wanted to help, so I joined Dental Lifeline Network. Right now, there's a wait list for patients in need in your community. I'm asking fellow dentists who will join me in seeing one patient per year.
To learn more, visit willyouseeone.org, furnished by Dental Lifeline Network.
All right. Yeah, Hunter Biden, a lot of money laundering. This is a lot of fun. Old James Rosen, my old pal James Rosen. He's a fun guy. He's a smart guy. Now with Sinclair Broadcasting, after having left Fox News, and Joe Biden, he's mentally impaired. Boy, this guy is not altogether there. He's getting all kinds of stuff goofy. It's not that he's getting it wrong. He's getting it goofy because he's a goof. He's a complete goof. And there are a couple of things we learned yesterday, thanks to James Rosen, having to do with reporting. You remember that? Remember reporting? It used to happen sometimes, and doesn't happen much anymore. Mostly what happens is corruption and, party politics masquerading as media stuff. But I've got a couple of items from James Rosen, and he spoke to Tony B on his program on Sinclair yesterday, and we'll get into that. And also, just remarkable stuff. This is funny too. Our friends at the Media Research Center happened upon Andrea Mitchell down on Capitol Hill at Big Building 400 North Capitol, where MSNBC has their studios. And asked Andrea Mitchell about the Hunter Biden story, and there was a funny moment going on there. Good stuff. Jessica Kramer from the Media Research Center, kind of, they used to call it doorstepping, where you wait outside for someone and you ask them questions when they show up. And good stuff. Also, Michael Moore is a little concerned. The creosote-filled gas bag of the hard left. He loves Cuba, thinks Cuba's health care is better than ours. He doesn't go there for his health care, of course, but he'll tell you that it's better than our health care. And he, Michael Moore, he's a little concerned that the polls are not telling the whole story, are not telling the truth. And, of course, President Trump on the campaign trail, lunch bunket Joe, trying to campaign, but he's too confused to be campaigning. He's a very easily confused person. And he doesn't know what many words mean. He uses them anyway, but he doesn't know what the words mean. In the meantime, Michael, let's go to the phones. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Mike calling from Springfield, Maryland. Michael, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned reporting. I remember a time when reporting was honest. If a guy named Walter Cronkite or David Brinkley said it, you could take it to the bank. I understand audience preferences changed, but now when things are so politicized and media has been co-opted by political forces. How do you see that ever changing?
It's a great question. You know, I grew up, my stepfather was a reporter for CBS News for more than 50 years. Walter Cronkite came over to the house when I was a kid. I met Walter Cronkite at my house and elsewhere many times. And, you know, and Walter Cronkite hung out with the Kennedy family and went sailing with them and stuff. And he was, you know, he voted Democrat. But he was a journalist. He was a reporter. I mean, look, a reporter is going to be either a Democrat or a Republican probably in the United States. And historically, they've been Democrats even in those days. However, they were journalists. They were reporters. They took the job seriously. I was raised with an ethic when it comes to journalism. Almost like it was a priesthood, and you were about the truth, you were about the facts, you were about holding the powerful accountable. And that didn't mean just this party or that party. It started to change with Watergate and the Hollywoodized Watergate and Woodward and Bernstein, and they're still riding that wave. And it became a terrible TV show when cable came along, and newspapers, kind of on again, off again, have been very political early on in the country. You had the St. Louis Democrat and the Chicago Republican or whatever, and the Independent, and they identified themselves. And it's gone back and forth and back and forth. Now I got to tell you, how do I see that changing? And I saw your question on the big board here that Victor wrote in, and the only thing that came to mind, Mike, was this. You know, last time around, Hillary Clinton was going to win, and on Election Day, they told her she had a 98% chance of winning, likelihood of winning, and then she lost. And it was a serious blow to the fake journalists and the pollsters and all of that. And then, you know, this Russian collusion thing, and this Russian collusion was all a big lie, and the media knew it was. I mean, I knew it was. I was looking at the same facts they were. And how did I come to the opposite conclusion, and why was I right and they were all wrong? It's because they're institutionally corrupt, and that's a terrible thing. And one thing, Mike, that I think might light a fire under their corrupt butts is for President Trump to win in a landslide next week. And that might cause a reckoning. I can't think of anything else because it's very corporate-y. You know, they pretend they hate billionaires and corporations and capitalism, and they do. But they all, of course, work for billionaires, like at the Washington Post, and corporations, like at CNN, Time Warner, and beyond. And they're all sort of greedy, money-grubbing, rubbing their claws together for the next big paycheck. These anchors all make millions of dollars a year and all this stuff. And I got to tell you, they've got to be humiliated. They've got to be disgraced. They're without shame. They're completely without shame. They're exposed again and again. Look the way they covered the Russian collusion story when there was no Russian collusion. The way they still cover up for James Comey. Look, they hire all these people and put them on their staff. I've got some audio on that a little later. Hiring all these intelligence people who are corrupt. I don't see them. They have no interest. They're not engaged in any form of self-analysis. They're not reflective. They're not serious about their journalism. Jake Tapper recently said this is in many ways a golden age for journalism. I don't think he knows what those words mean. This is a disgraceful era for journalism, and I hope that someday we can look back on it. And we will mark this era as an era when the news media disgraced themselves, and it led to rampant violence in the streets and conflict and race wars and burning cities. And really the news media are a major driving force in all of this, representing the Democrat Party and the left and the big lies that they spread about the whole country being racist and corrupt and unfair. We're the most fair, least racist country on the planet, and probably that the planet has ever seen. And the only thing I can think of, Mike, that might cause some reflection is, you know, a truth commission might be, because they love this kind of Stalinist terminology, South African terminology, is if President Trump wins in a landslide this time and the whole country is just gobsmacked by how wrong the entire Democrat media industrial complex was once again about everything. I mean, how consistently and constantly can they be wrong year after year, election after election, and still continue to perpetuate the great fraud that they perpetrate every day. I don't think they have any interest in reforming. I think they're all in on this. And unless the news organizations are absolutely humiliated, and that would be the case if President Trump won in a landslide on election night. And I would laugh, and I wouldn't be able to sleep because I'd be laughing all night. I don't know what to expect on election day because I look like everybody else. I don't believe the polls. I don't believe what CNN said. I don't believe what the Washington Post says. The New York Times is a pack of corrupt liars, and we know this. They've established this time and again. And Michael, you know, I mean, you're right. Where's Huntley and Brinkley when we need them? Where are the serious journalists? Go ahead, Michael.
The frightening thing for me is the alternative. If the Democrats win or sweep, this media as we know it today becomes state-run media. It's TAP. Yeah. It's Pravda.
Yeah. And it will reaffirm their corruption for them. The signal to them, the message to them will be, we won by doing this. By killing the Hunter Biden story and by calling it Russian disinformation and by accusing anyone that points to real journalism of being Russian assets and Russian agents, we won. If those tactics work, if this method that is currently being employed by CNN and the Washington Post, the New York Times and NBC News and the rest, if this works and they're successful at getting this brain-dead zombie, this Weekend at Bernie's candidate, into the White House as a sock puppet for the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democrat Party, then they're going to say, look, they're going to high-five. And look, if Biden wins, they're going to be doing conga lines in newsrooms and high-fiving one another. And corruption will have won, and the country will be in a desperate situation because you're right. The message to them, they will believe that this reaffirms that what they have been doing worked and that lying works, that it is a winning formula, that covering up stories that are detrimental to the Democrat Party works. And by accusing everyone, you're a Russian agent. This is just insane. You're all white supremacists. You know, this stuff is insane. It's the stuff of third world civil wars, and it is perfectly mainstream. And also, you know, we're standing by if President Trump wins. We're expecting rampant violence in urban centers across the country run by Democrats. We're all kind of assuming President Trump wins. The Democrat Party is a violent criminal party with mobs all across the country, and they will engage in mob violence across the country. There'll be looting and arson and attacks on the police. Churches will be burned. You see, they burned another church in Philadelphia, and it's not even news. Black Lives Matter riots because this career criminal was shot by the police while he was attacking them with a big knife, and the looting follows, and the press tells you amazingly, that it's mostly peaceful. And if Biden wins on Tuesday or Wednesday or next month or whenever it is the Democrats are done counting their mail-in ballots, if Biden wins, it will reaffirm for the corrupt people that corruption works. And that's a real concern. And honestly, Mike, I can tell from the tone of your voice, that having a functional fourth estate is vitally important, as our founders recognized, vitally important to the proper function of our republic, of our system of government. And we don't have a legitimate fourth estate. And when people do stand up and attempt to tell the truth, then they are shouted down by the people that are supposed to be the keepers of the flame, that are supposed to be the people with the keys to the kingdom on the truth. And we entrust the fourth estate with this. It's a brilliant system, but it's been so poisoned by the left that we no longer have a legitimate fourth estate, and it's a profoundly dangerous situation that we face in the United States of America. And again, now we learn from James Rosen at Sinclair that the FBI has been engaged in a money laundering investigation involving Hunter Biden and his businesses, and we now know that Tony B., testified, was interviewed by the FBI, apparently six agents from the FBI, for many hours, and it's all about Hunter Biden's enterprise. And on NBC, I can tell you, I found this morning, because I was looking for it this morning, I found NBC News. You want to see what NBC News is saying about it? NBC News, how a fake persona laid the groundwork for a Hunter Biden conspiracy deluge. All right. And what they're talking about is a 64-page document that came out a month ago or something, and has nothing to do with the emails. But it's a little sleight of hand by NBC News. And it's just appalling how corrupt NBC, Ben Collins and Brandy Zadronzi, wrote up this story for the Biden campaign, and they presenting it as news. You know, 1 month before a purported leak of files from Hunter Biden's laptop, all right, so they're not talking about that, a fake intelligence, they put intelligence in quotation marks, document about him went viral on the right-wing internet, asserting elaborate conspiracy theory involving former Vice President Joe Biden's son and business in China. See, now they've just done a little sleight of hand there. They're talking about something other than the emails, all right? And the internet is a cesspool. Everybody knows that. And who cares about some other thing? This is their way of just sidestepping and walking around the Hunter Biden story while making it sound like that's the conspiracy theory they're talking about. They're not actually doing that. And I tell you, where do you hear Glenn Greenwald from the Tucker Carlson show last night? Glenn Greenwald, who's a lefty and a journalist I've always respected very much, because although he's a lefty, he just, you know, remember the old phrase, speak truth to power? He actually does that, unlike these frauds who are bootlicks and ass kissers for the Democrat Party. I apologize, but there it is. And Glenn Greenwald, a certified lefty, is still, you know, angry about the media not telling the truth, and he still wants to tell the truth. And that's why he had to walk away from the news organization he himself created. Will you hear what he has to say about the media and the CIA and the intelligence community and so on? So, Mike, long way to get to your responses. Honestly, I think if Trump wins in a landslide, then the navel-gazing will stop and the self-admiration, and the media organizations will be forced to take a look at what they've been doing. Maybe not, but I think management is going to have to look at it, and the shareholders are going to have to look at it.
Well, because clearly the steamroller is going. I mean, the point that they'll sacrifice their own, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, a war veteran accused of being a Russian asset.
Right. Right. That's right. You know, look, they lie constantly, and we expect politicians to lie. Republicans will lie. Democrats will lie. Politicians will lie. The media is supposed to be the impartial, you know, gum-smacking, cigarette-smoking, hat tilted back, worn-out shoes up on the desk. They don't care who they're sticking it to, as long as they're sticking it to somebody. Not anymore. You remember Harry Reid had that big lie? He said, word is Mitt Romney hadn't paid his taxes in 10 years. And it was a big lie, and he knew it was a lie. He said it on the floor of the Senate, where you can't be sued because they're protected on the floor of the Senate. He knew that he could go there and lie. And the media ran with it, and then a year later, Dana Bash at CNN said, well, you told everybody that Mitt Romney hadn't paid his taxes. It turned out that wasn't true. And Harry Reid said, well, it worked. It worked, didn't it? Barack Obama's president. And that's it. He's a lion sack of Judea. He's a crook. He's a thief. He's a criminal for a whole lot of other reasons. And the media just applauds. They said, oh, Dana Bash asked one question 11 years ago. Congratulations, Dana. Try asking another one. Maybe one a decade. Step up your game a little bit. Thank you, Michael.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways. There's some really great journalism being done right now.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Thank you.
fall is here, so now's your chance to start up something new and delicious. Let HelloFresh spice up mealtime at home with fresh ingredients and mouth-watering recipes delivered to your door contact-free. Choose from more than 22 chef-curated recipes every week, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and family-friendly options. Say goodbye to never-ending meal planning and prepping with HelloFresh. You can get meals on the table in as little as 20 minutes. HelloFresh features recyclable packaging and pre-portioned ingredients that cut down on food waste by at least 25%. And you're not just cutting your carbon footprint, you're saving 40% compared with shopping in your local grocery store. Plus, more servings mean more savings. So now you can order larger HelloFresh boxes for even better value. Go to HelloFresh.com and use the code PLANT to get $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box. That's the code PLANT for $80 in savings at HelloFresh.com.
According to the Social Security Administration, there are over 9,000 combinations for how you can take Social Security. Choose wrong and you could leave thousands on the table. Hi, I'm Ken Murray, founder of Retirement Planners of America. Social Security can be very complex. You can receive a free Social Security consultation. We'll help you choose the option and build a plan to help your money last as long as you do.
Call for your free consultation now. 800-375-1159. 800-375-1159.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with Geico, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-831-6155. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155. 800-831-6155.
Some gifts don't come wrapped in packages with bows and ribbons. They aren't hidden away, then torn into with reckless abandon. Some gifts are needs, like food or shelter, and those can be the most precious of all. In a year with fewer red kettles, help rescue Christmas for those facing poverty with a $25 monthly donation. Enlist in Love's Army at givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
All right, lots of great stories and lots of great audio to get to today. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry calling from Springfield, Virginia. Terry, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, morning, Chris.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, man. I'd like your take on the idea that the left and the media, knowing that they have such a poor candidate, they're touting all these polls. You know, he's winning here, winning there. He might take Florida. He might take Texas. On and on, that when Trump actually wins, they're going to flip around and say, oh, how could that have possibly happened? All the polls are saying this, saying that, saying Biden's going to take it. You know, they're going to turn around and use that as a strategy of delaying the election.
Well, and more than that, left-wing groups are already lined up, and they've declared that should President Trump win, they're going to declare the election to have been stolen. They're going to call it a coup. They've already organized their armies of brown shirts and black shirts to take to the streets, a la their forebears, the National Socialist German Workers' Party of the 1930s and 40s in Europe. And they are they're already plotting for this. Now, we know that we don't believe the polls, right? And if President Trump should just win a landslide on Election Day, I think we know what we can expect, right? And the media, well, your question is, will they declare the election to be illegitimate, right? That's your question?
Oh, yeah, and they're just padding their argument with all this time leading up to the election. You know, he's going to win. Biden's going to win.
Right. And then when he doesn't, and, shock of shocks.
Correct.
And it won't be the media's fault and the pollsters' fault. It will be, look, Joe Biden said it himself. He said that President Trump can't win without chicanery, right? That's what he said. That's he likes to use words from the 18th century because, you know, that's where he was reared. And Hillary Clinton has already said, no matter what, don't concede. And the left-wing groups in the street that have been burning our cities and attacking the police are organizing because that's what they do. And they're plotting and they're planning. And when President Trump wins, should he win, I'm crossing my fingers, we know.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.